laugh time on the Don and Mike Show.
Put the phone in your place.
That would be nice.
Put the phone down in your place, and then I want to hear you say, hi, Don and Mike.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Don and Mike.
Sounds like she did it.
Hello.
Yes.
Wash yourself with lemon.
And you're putting the phone up to your mouth now, so you just had the phone down there in your place?
I know someone picks up this phone later.
Oh, but...
What? Somebody eat the last can of chicken of the sea.
The Don and Mike Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Mr. Son of a Beach.
Hello, everybody. You got the Don and Mike Show. Coming to you live. 4 hours every weekday. From the studios of WJFK. Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. You can call Don and Mike anytime for free at 877-365-3636.
That's what we don't know.
But turn your radio down. Know who would you do call. Don't call to play the name game. No calls to rape women. Don't ask when they're coming to your town.
Oh, really?
And don't call telling jokes.
What?
Country is this where I can only hate a man if he's white?
The Don and Mike Show. You can get it.
That's right.
Move to your left.
What?
Move to your right. The Don and Mike Show. The best thing you're gonna find. The Don and Mike Show.
Here's the heart.
On your radio.
What?
Do it. The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime. Toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Well, look at that.
Hey!
We all made it back alive.
Yeah.
Everybody is still alive, and that deserves a round of applause.
All right.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, you love him in his diaper. Coming down to the ball in Times Square with Dick Clark. Here he is, New Year's Baby 2001. Bill Hotbite.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
I'm Rob. Rob Spiewak from the Don and Mike Show on WJFK, and I want to know, are you ready to help our team do a big win over the Giants today? What do you say, fans?
Rob Spiewak!
You know, the longer it goes on,
yeah,
and the Redskins down in the playoffs, that tape becomes funnier and funnier. What do you say, fans? Hey, what do you say, new dad?
Hey, new daddy!
You know, Hochberg is actually really excited today.
Why?
Because yesterday marked the true beginning of the millennium. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Salt and Pepper Shaker and all the ships at sea. Hey, it's the two guys responsible for successfully delivering my child, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
Did it with a craftsman set of tools and a simple wooden spoon.
Pretty amazing, too, especially with the baby's head being that big.
Well, hello, and here we are, live back in studio. The great drought is over. New episode coming at you on Tuesday, January 2nd. 2001, and the phone number same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
877-365-3636. There was a period of time when I thought it would be nice to update the number every year.
Yeah.
Like have a number that was 1998, 1999, 2000,
right.
2001. But
that's foolish to have had.
No, not around here.
Right.
Too much trouble.
Right.
Lucky we have a phone number.
Yeah.
877-365-3636, your hotline to the hits. What can we say?
Welcome to my world.
Oh, yes, indeed. For 2001.
Welcome.
Won't you come on in?
Some of us battled death.
Yep.
Some of us.
Miracles, I guess.
Battled our families. Some of us. Had great joy.
Rob.
His baby.
Right.
Step into my heart.
Some of us had New Year's Eve fights with our wives. Some of us busted stitches.
Oh, wow.
Some of us. Plus, the doctor still didn't get it right, but it's all built with you in mind. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, after the longest hiatus we ever had.
Yeah, I need a break.
I mean,
Johnny Carson was laughing at us after this last vacation.
Absolutely. It did everybody a world of good, though. I feel the energy in here, and that'll be... that might last until 6 o'clock or so this evening.
You know what? I'm going to make a prediction.
Yeah.
That because...
Rob said 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. No, I don't think so.
No, first batch of calls.
No, I'm not. I'm probably not going to go to the phone today.
Okay. Oh.
Today's probably going to be a phone-free show. We got so much stuff to talk about.
Right.
Yeah, right. That won't happen. So listen, after being in the hospital...
Yeah, I'm sure this is really almost like coming back to a vacation.
This is... Hello, everybody. This is my vacation.
Yeah, I know, because you didn't have any fun at all during your break, because you basically were getting well.
This is it. So I'm glad to be here, and I hope that this good mood that I have can battle against. You know, see, the problem is Mike's coming in with the traditional after a holiday, after vacation mood.
Right, absolutely.
Which is happy, teetering on, ready to take somebody out. Right?
Ready to take a life. That's the way it usually is. I was the way I usually am. When I walk into this building, when I think we all can agree, when we've been gone for a long period of time, there's a certain artificial euphoria that we all enjoy because we get excited about seeing everybody. And, you know, when we see each other, that's the way it happens. And that kind of carries over into the beginning of the show. Uh-huh. And then when you start to do this again, you realize, and for me, many times after about 15, 20 minutes, that you know, you're back at it again. Now, you have a different perspective because, you were in a hospital for a good chunk of the time.
I was, and even when I wasn't in the hospital, I was trapped at my home.
Right.
You know, how sad is this that I was telling you guys, one of the highlights of our vacation was the day that Buzz came over to visit me, and Buzz and I spent the better part of the afternoon discussing the various surgical procedures we had done. We were playing...
That is so sad, isn't it?
We were playing Can You Top This? Incidentally, he won.
Yeah.
Oh, really? He won, of course.
I'm the champion.
You're still...
They didn't get it right?
No. Oh, yes, they did. Yeah.
Doctors that are, like, taking acid before they do the procedure?
So far, so good.
Good.
I'm on a very good track right now. Buzz's doctor, Dr. Seuss, says that he's doing great.
And your doctors, Detroit and Giggles, did a fine job?
They both said, and as a matter of fact, they gave me an A+.
Very good.
The things look great, but
you look good. You look good. You sound good too. I think anybody listening knows you sound better.
Yeah, well, I feel 100% better. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ!
I think so.
And you know, listen, you can go to Jenny Craig. You can go to Weight Watchers if you want.
Right.
For my money, you really want to drop some weight on the holidays? Mm-hmm. Get yourself hospitalized.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Because look at this.
Feeling great.
The IV diet.
Feeling great.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little jealous because not only did I start drinking again on the holiday, I started eating again on the holiday. And I was happy. Rob, you'll be happy to know that I gained, as it was on the scale of our friend Carol today, 9 pounds on the holiday break. Hi.
So that thing about losing 30 pounds... We have to modify that to 21 pounds now.
9 pounds.
Wow. And my doctor told me that if I hadn't had these cortisone shots,
right, you look a little puffy in the face.
Yeah, I've had 8 cortisone shots over the last 3 weeks. Each cortisone shot can add between 3 and 5 pounds.
But that'll go away eventually.
Yes. Very quickly. As soon as I start getting regular liquids in and stuff, he said that if I hadn't had those shots, I could have maybe dropped 25 pounds.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That almost makes it worth it.
It's a great way to go in and lose some weight.
So listen, here we are. So glad to be back. Lots of great news and stories to tell you about the holiday. The thing we're most happy about, of course, is that the Immaculate Conception happened.
Right.
Carrie Spiewak gave pound to a head.
Gave birth to a head.
What did I say?
You gave pound to a head.
Well, she gave,
that'll come later.
She gave birth to
I was on the phone for about half an hour. She said that the labor was a little difficult due to the size of the baby's head.
It was. Wow.
No surprise.
Not abnormally large, but it is on the large side of normal.
Sure.
I'll tell you that. The baby's head was 14 and a half inches in circumference.
And incidentally, it's only head.
14 and a half inches.
So there are no arms.
No feet.
No arms, no legs.
Well, you remember in The Wizard of Oz when they see the great and powerful Oz?
Right.
It's just a head. Yeah, that's my baby. That's Julia. Beautiful fire.
She's
all
beautiful, Rob. Don't say that. She's a beautiful baby.
She is. And Rob has great pictures of the baby, and the baby is smiling. And I was proud to be one of the first calls where I've got, you know, that's maybe the most elated moment in a guy's life.
Yeah, it sure is.
And you all know this. And Buzz, you do, of course, with many children you fathered, and then, then you've left town.
I get the calls.
But
he gets the calls for the mothers.
But when your kid is born,
right,
you are really on top of the freaking world. And
it was amazing.
Very humbled to be get one of the first phone calls from Rob.
It was great. I was just going through everyone I could think of at the hospital. I was just calling everybody, and I was having a hard time remembering phone numbers. It was just 100 miles an hour.
It was a great. I got a message from Rob. I was on the auto train,
also a great moment in my life.
Yes, and you were really on cloud nine.
It was amazing, it went on for 9 or 10 days, and I finally realized when you come down, you never really come down from being excited. But I was just so exhausted. I realized I hadn't really appreciably slept in 9 days.
Right.
It's just the most amazing, amazing time.
Congratulations, Rob.
Yeah. Thank you.
Baby Julia, round of applause for
Julia.
Robbie.
It's Julia Addison?
Addison, Addison, a name that Carrie liked, but there's no real significance to it.
Julia Louis Spiewak would have been my
And Julia is my grandmother's name, so that's where that comes from.
Julia, a nice German name.
Yes, hi.
Connection to Diane Carroll at all?
None at all. And, well, except in your mind.
Ah, yes.
And I believe it will always be there. And we don't.
Hi. This is Julia Spiewak. I am Rob's baby. Hi.
Hi. I have 14-inch head, and it was slightly difficult, but everything came out fine.
And I am the OBGYN. Rob, congratulations. We have delivered a beautiful baby head to you. Speak, head.
Hi. I am head, and this is Daddy. Hi, Daddy. Hi, Daddy. Daddy.
So it begins.
Daddy, Julia, Daddy.
It's a beautiful baby to be brought up in fine German tradition with a fine German name, Julia.
Julia!
Hi.
So, Carrie didn't let you go with the original name, Ava? Want to do that?
Ava.
They had Adolf for a boy and Ava for a girl.
Right.
And I understand Dieter Irwin. Was another thought. But it happened to be a male.
That's right. But, we just went with Julia. We thought it was nice and understated. But
very
we'll
nice.
Be breeding a lot more young men in the near future.
Breeding. Breeding. Okay, Gordon.
The Rob's Aryan Nation.
That's right.
Grows. Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And good to know that you're excited, and rightly so.
I know Carrie's at home right now, and so I can say for the first time, over the air, I love you both.
Oh, that's sweet.
That's nice.
Beautiful. Congratulations, and that truly is our lead story, that the Spiewak's delivered a beautiful baby head.
Indeed.
It's the exact opposite of Beetlejuice. Mm-hmm. You know, in the movie Beetlejuice, at the very end, when the head gets very tiny and the body is still very large?
Absolutely.
Exactly the opposite. As a matter of fact, Rob's baby's head, I believe, will be featured in next year's Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
All right.
The baby's head, they're going to be all kinds of guys with strings holding it up in the air.
It's an interesting car seat that Rob's going to get, because it doesn't go in the back seat. It actually goes on the back of the car right in the window, and the baby will just be nodding at people as it's driving by. That's the last baby joke I am going to make about your kid.
Hold on, I got another one. You could make extra money. You get a baseball hat. You could have people taking pictures with your kid like the bobblehead doll. The big bobblehead doll.
She's beautiful. I saw a picture. Rob's got a picture up in the office of baby Julia.
She's smiling.
Lovely.
Yeah. And that picture was taken directly after birth?
And that is day one. She's maybe 28, 29 hours old in that picture. She is... got the best disposition. Of course, living with me, I'm sure it'll be ruined. But
the funny thing
happy.
Is, I heard you explaining to Don your routine, and Rob's explanation of how he's helping out with the baby as far as the baby sleeping through the night. Was it something along the lines of you get the early shift and Carrie gets the late shift?
Well, I take care of things until 1 a.m. You don't think this is helping?
No, it's just funny.
It's funny when you're saying that. You take care of the baby up until
I do
fall
some
asleep.
Of yeah.
Up until you're right
up until,
bed.
Up until that you go to bed, right after Letterman. And then, mommy will basically say, Carrie knows this is true, too.
Normally go to bed about 10:30. I'm staying up extra. I'm crying.
That extra hour and a half, I'm sure she appreciates.
Very
absolutely.
Go in the extra yard.
And when the baby cries, I wake right up and I say, do you need any help? If I'm turning over.
Yeah, okay.
I'll get up. If she needs me, she'll wake me, and I'll get up.
If she needs you.
Yeah, that's bonding time. You don't want to get in the way of that.
No, of course not.
No.
Absolutely not.
Very important.
That's why breastfeeding was so important to Rob.
Oh, absolutely.
And we told you before the baby was born that's the prime the prime getaway time for the dad, because no matter what happens,
mommy has to be awake and ready to go.
Sure.
And if it's bottle fed baby, then you can do it.
Well, I'm half. It's half and half because we're having to supplement.
Okay.
So occasionally, but through the night, there are still the times when I'm just of no use.
Right.
The baby awakes and wants something I can't give
it. Now, do you do the do you go all the way with it where you wear the T-shirt to bed with the hole cut in it where you stick the bottle?
Mike, actually, amazingly, I've been lactating for like 5 days. First colostrum, and now the baby is putting on weight like crazy, and I'm losing weight.
You look like you've lost more weight.
I haven't been able to eat or sleep.
Really? Well, congratulations to you, Rob.
Thank you very much.
That is really great news. The baby was officially born before Christmas, actually. What was the date of the birth?
An amazing list of stats. It was born on 12/18 at 8:12 a.m.
Wow.
And weighed 8 pounds, 12 ounces.
That is very cool. Wow.
And Carrie was actually in labor for about 14 hours and did 14, two and a half hours of actual pushing, and then they went to a C-section because it was just too much for her. Because it was a lot of head.
Not because she's a C.
No. That's not like a place where ladies sit.
No, not at all.
Procedure or so.
Well, congratulations, Rob.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, guys.
We could not be happier for you. Yeah. And what that means over the next few years is that we're all going to get to hear Rob's formerly happy life be torn to shreds.
Right.
The shreds that we know.
Yes, of course.
Raising a young one. You become an adult when you have a baby. For all of you engaged couples out there that may think that, hey, the marriage is when you become a grown-up. No. When you have the child, that's when real grown-uphood begins.
Let me translate. That's when the fun ends. Which is why we're so opposed to babies having babies. And why we always tell you, pull out.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
Please.
Jesus, H. Christ, pull out. Okay, well, everybody's got stories and everybody's got stuff to tell. I guess I'll go first because I got so much crap to tell you. I do want to thank everybody on the show. It was very nice with the calls and the letters. And, Mike, your call especially cheered me up.
I'm so glad. It was tough to hear. I was on a cell phone, and it was kind of in and out. And then when I finally made contact and was able to relay some of my happy vacation story to
Mike
you.
Mike was having an awful time in Orlando.
Oh, no.
And I was feeling awful at home. I had these IVs going. I got like 18 stitches up and down my back, stitches in my sides. I'm peeing into the catheter. Stupid thing. And Mike called, and as a matter of fact, I said to him, you got to stop talking to me because you are making me laugh so much.
Because
it's hurting me.
We know after working together as long as we have when it's real, and you knew it was. I wasn't tweaking it up.
No.
It was definitely. The worst part of my vacation came at the beginning. It got actually better as it went on.
Good.
And I was able to share some of that real Disney venom with you, which I know you enjoy more than anybody else.
I loved it. It was great. And, of course, many calls from Buzz and a visit from Buzz. And Rob on the phone constantly with me. I appreciated that. And lots of people around. It's very nice. You really find out who your friends are. You got lots of nice cars and loaded up on some nice gifts from people and stuff. And I want to thank the management of WJFK for cheaping out and sending me balloons.
Oh, how nice. Nice.
You know what? And I was really shocked. I came home to find a lovely flower arrangement from the management here, and I meant to thank them for that.
No need. Unless it's something like that, a new wing of the home for the baby. You know, the flowers and balloons don't cut it. You have to remember that.
But flowers are higher on the food scale than balloons.
That's true.
You're expecting nothing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I guess if you expect nothing, but it's still we have to be hard on management for 2001.
Just those stupid helium-filled balloons, those big shiny ones, they get well soon with the big smiley face.
Get well soon, Donald.
As soon as the guy was coming from the flower shop, he pulled up the driveway. As soon as we saw him get out of the driveway, he said to Frida, those are from JFK. Those are from management. I know it.
Absolutely.
I know it. Whatever, the bare minimum. Uh-huh. But thank you to all those who really did, do a lot to make me feel better.
Good.
Jesus Christ, it was just, at first it was a mess. I hate being in the hospital. I hate it beyond anything. And I had two separate procedures done over the holiday. One procedure that was kind of minor that I had to go back in and have a more major procedure done.
Right.
Basically, I won't bore you with all the details, but what they did was they removed my left non-functioning kidney, what's left of it.
Right. They kind of pulverized it first, right?
Yes, they did. They went in with arthroscopic laser thing.
Amazing that they can do that.
And the first part of it was actually quite simple. The second part was not as simple. I do want to thank my doctor, Dr. Waters, who did a fantastic job.
I tell you, Muddy is one of the best physicians that I've ever known. Muddy is a guy that is...
No, Mike, it was John.
Oh, John. Oh,
the filmmaker.
Love it.
You and John Waters, Money Waters.
The guy from the movie Polyester.
John Waters. You'll be all set now, Mr. Geronimo.
Here's the thing. You go in there and of course, they all know that I do the show, and thankfully, all the people who were operating on me weren't among those who hate this show. Right. Was your doctor troubled at all during the procedure?
No, why?
Was he troubled, Waters?
No, that's it.
I'll stop now.
He was very clean. He wasn't dirty water.
Dirty Waters. Okay.
But let me just tell you a couple of things. Okay, like when I woke up from the first bit of surgery, where they went in just with lasers just to clean up some of the mess that's been in there for 30-some years, I'm laying in the recovery room, and I've got the thing on my head, and I've got the blue scrubs on, and he gently wakes me up and says, hi, listen, got to tell you something. Got good news and bad news. Mm. You know, that's the last thing you want to hear.
Right, exactly.
I said, really? What? He says, okay, here's the bad news first. I want to tell you right now, Gore conceded, Bush won. Because this was on the day that Bush officially decided that he was going to be the president.
Right.
Okay, well, what's the bad news? He says, somebody left a junior mint inside.
Oh, God.
And now he's
doing shtick as you do a radio show.
At this point, I was laying down on the table. I was still all loopy from the gas and stuff. And I look around, and there's maybe 8 or 10 of them, and they're all just hooting.
Just showing their teeth,
yeah,
laughing.
You know,
right.
Like this guy is Andrew Dice Clay or something.
That's funny.
And I didn't give him a reaction.
Right.
I did, and then he said, didn't you see the Seinfeld episode?
Right.
Junior Mints. Left a Junior Mint inside you.
That's what you want. You want comedy when you're coming out of heavy anesthesia.
All right. Thank you, Doc. Thank you very much. Although, there were a couple of the internal medicine guys. You know, there's all kinds of different. There's the doctor that did the surgery.
Right.
There are the doctors who were there just for internal stuff. There were the guys who gave me the IVs, the guys
the
who
anesthesiologists,
gave me,
right.
The guys who knocked me out. I'm not sure which group it was. But when I arrived in my hospital bed, there was a bag, a plain brown paper bag, that said, to Don from the staff, get well soon. Oh. And I opened it up, and there were some of the most awful pornographic magazines.
Hey, there you go. I didn't do it, and they ended up doing it.
I had ever seen before in my life.
Quality pornography.
I mean,
were you together enough to get any enjoyment out of them whatsoever?
Well, they were.
They weren't even quality?
They were the type of stuff that we would look at on the show.
Oh, really?
Okay, it wasn't like Swank or We.
No.
I think one was girls who have big butts and guys who love them. Another was
kind you'd find on that kiosk on Broadway.
Yes, anal women of the 90s, and I would pick these things up, and I'd laugh, and then because I was still, highly sedated, and I'm just laying down in the bed, I just left them. You know, they got that little tray when you're in the hospital, for those of you who've been hospitalized. You got the hospital bed with a tray in front of you where they bring you your meals and stuff. So I just had these magazines just sitting out, and as different doctors would come in through the day, like to check my vital signs.
Hysterical. You're so out of it, you're just leaving them out?
Every time someone would come by, like the nurse would come by to take my pulse, and she'd go, all right, how you feeling today? And then I would see her eyes go down there, and I have them spread all over the place.
Oh, that's too funny.
And it was one doctor came in and actually picked it up and started looking at it and set it down, and I had gone to sleep and didn't realize until another doctor came in later that they had left it open on a page where there was this sister, this black chick. She had to weigh maybe 500 pounds.
Oh, no.
And the page she had open to was this chick with her butt towards the camera. And she had pulled her cheek wide open.
Oh, my God.
And the doctor comes in and says, they go to the front of the bed first, and they get your chart, and they say, let's see how you're doing today. You going to feel like eating anything today? And then he looks at me. And, none of them said anything about it.
No, not at all.
None of them said a freaking word to me about it.
Of course, you've probably taken the bag and thrown it away, right? So nobody could see the from the staff of the hospital.
Well, no, the bag was there, but it was underneath these five for six magazines.
I picture you so out of it that you didn't like have the presence of mind to hide them under your pillow or anything.
Very out of it, and both the doctors who performed these procedures on me told me that when they put me under, that I was talking like a madman, that they absolutely could not get me to shut up.
Wow.
I said, what was I talking about? They just said, you were babbling. You were just babbling. You wouldn't be quiet.
I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.
After the second procedure, what they did was they lasered down a large percentage of this non-functioning kidney that I had. And it was very similar to an abortion. Because what they would do is they cut me open, and they would go in and laser down this kidney and all this scar tissue and get it down to a mushy, slurpy-like form. Then they would put a vacuum tube in there.
Oh my God.
And suck it out. So at one point, I'm done with the major part of the procedure, and the doctor comes over with this plastic beaker, like a big Tupperware thing, and it was filled about three-quarters of the way up. And he said, yeah, would you mind doing me a favor? And I said, no, I mean, this doctor was Dr. Waters. He's the greatest. He said, would you autograph the side of the beaker for me?
And he's just going to keep it like on his desk or something?
He's going to put it on his shelf in his office.
Very, very cool.
So
your kidney is immortalized.
To Dr. Waters, thank you. You're the best. You know, just like when Rob signs our publicity pictures.
Absolutely.
It was much the same thing.
What did it look like? Just kind of like jelly in there? Or
no, it was weird.
Really?
It almost looked like a combination of throw up.
Right.
And dog food.
Yeah.
And it had there was a little blood in it, little bumps.
Sounds like they needed to get that out.
Yeah, oh, yeah. They definitely said that this procedure should have been done years ago. And, you know, that's the other thing that every doctor wants to discuss with me is, well, how come your parents didn't have this done, you know, 35 years ago when you originally had this problem when you were a child? So what I had to do was go through my thing with my parents with every freaking doctor that came in,
God.
You know, because you just can't give them the blanket statement like, listen, I'm on the outs with my parents. You know, it's a mutual thing. We don't get along. We're estranged. I've got to walk them through every step of this.
Yeah.
The main doctor said that when they opened me up and they really saw what was doing in there, that the doctor gasped.
Ooh.
Openly.
Yes. So obviously, whoever had done it originally was some just total hack.
that guy
from the Cannonball Run movies?
I guess, well, you know, you're talking about 35 years ago they had done this original surgery.
Yeah, we're going to
get
his kidney up here.
They had gone in and they didn't have the technology they do today, and they didn't know everything that they do today. And so for a while, they all just stood around and kind of looked.
So you were a textbook case.
And they tried to forget. As a matter of fact, he said, I'm going to end up in some medical journal now.
Right.
I'm going to end up in some medical journal because, well, first of all, I'm a cancer survivor. I knew that I had this pediatric cancer on this the one kidney when I was a kid.
Right.
But because my parents never bothered to tell me this, and because I've never had the follow-up checks for the last 30 years.
Wow.
It's like, he said, it's like driving a car, for 30 years and never doing any maintenance on it at all.
So you really were, you know, it was basic neglect. I mean, I hate to say it, but
no, it was
parental neglect that accounted for you. I mean, you probably at least every year should have had that thing checked out.
Oh, three to four times a year.
I'm going to have to go see these kidney doctors for the rest of my life.
So they were all great, and on the second time that I was ready to leave, they brought a phone over and they said, okay, call Frieda. Tell her to come over now and pick you up. You're ready to be discharged. You can go home now, and then you do the rest of your recuperating at home. And I picked up the phone, and I called her, and I said, you know, I'm ready. Come get me. And then they left the room. And at this point, I was still on the goofy gas.
Sure. Right.
And I had on just my hospital gown.
Mm-hmm.
And a pair of underpants and the blue footies, like that you see the doctors on ER wearing.
Yeah.
And what I did was I got out of bed and started walking around the hospital because, you know, I was out of it, man.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go home and I wanted to get the hell out of it.
Right.
So I walked, I guess, all the way across the hospital from they have an area, surgery, outpatient.
Down to the street, out onto the beltway.
Inpatient. No. I simply walked from one part of the hospital to another part of the hospital.
Stop that, man.
And then I realized
Well, now Frida doesn't know where I am.
Right.
So I picked up the telephone, didn't have any money, made a collect call. She hadn't left the house. She said, "Hi." "Hi, I'm, where am I? Where?" And I stopped the nurse. I said, "Hi, where am I?" And she said, "Well, you're by the recovery room, and you're by the emergency room." I said, "I have to be picked up." And she said, "Well, you're not even dressed. Are you sure you're going to be discharged?" And I, you know, I showed her the little band around my wrist. I said, "Yes, discharged." And she said, "Who are you talking to?" I'm talking to my wife. So the nurse said, "Give me the telephone, please."
Yes, Arthur.
So the nurse says, "Hi, listen, we're not quite sure how he got over here, but he, you know, he's on the wrong side of the hospital right now. So we're going to lead him back over to where he should be. And we'll get
what
him."
You didn't realize is you were so out of it, you didn't even have a hospital gown on.
Well, thank God I did. Although it was the kind, I didn't have it tied up in the back.
But at least you had underwear on.
Yes,
right?
I had underwear on. And, right. And you know, I'm sure you can relate to this, Buzz. At this point, I had all of the oozing sores and stuff.
Oh, yes. All the markings where they've gone in.
Yeah.
The invasive procedure.
You know, that color, that orange-yellow type color that you have painted all over your side after you've had an operation.
It's the disinfectant.
Betadine is called.
Betadine, yes. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what they use when they cut on you. Right.
Yeah, so I went back, and a lady was nice enough to say, let me give you a hand with everything. And this nurse was great because I was sitting up on the table, and she said, "Okay, let's get you dressed for when your wife is going to come pick you up. Do you think you can handle this?" And I said, "No." You know, I was really out of it. She said, "Okay, well, let's start with this. Let's get these booties off, and let's see if we can put some sweatpants on, and then put some shoes and socks on." And she went to the cubby hole, and she got out my sweatpants, and we pulled the sweatpants on, and then she said, "Okay, now your socks. Now, keep in mind, I got a foot thing."
Right.
"But I'm so out of it."
Right.
"That I forgot I got this foot thing going."
Sure, sure.
She takes off my booties, and I can tell right away.
She's repelled.
This chick is staring at my feet.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
She's staring because the right foot is great, but the left foot. I got three toes that are definitely...
Like maybe they should wheel you right back into the OR.
Yeah, and maybe just cut the toes off.
Just take the toes.
She, at this point...
Put that on the doctor's mantle.
She, at this point, goes over to the sink, and then she puts on the rubber gloves.
Oh, no.
To come over and put my socks... To come over and put my socks on.
Oh, wow.
And again, I'm just sitting there, like, you know, goofy as hell, not even realizing, "What are you doing?" She said, "Well, it appears you have a bit of toenail fungus on one of these feet,
right.
And I'm just taking precautions here."
She didn't want to be carving her Christmas turkey with that fungus on her hand.
Yeah, I guess so. Didn't want to pick her nose or anything.
No.
After that,
all of a sudden she looked like that guy on Papillon.
So I wasn't, you know, I'm so out of it. I'm not even aware of the fact that this chick, this nurse, is like, "Look at him." You know, I got the one tone that they were. There's no,
could have been more subtle. You know, spared your feelings a little bit, not going over to get the rubber gloves on to do that. You know.
There was one toe, she was asking me, she says, "This big toe, where's the toenail?"
I was so
out of it. I said, "Oh, it falls off. Sometimes I just go to cut my toenail off, and it just comes off.
It'll grow back." Have you ever thought about taking that expensive medicine that they prescribe?
Now
I'm biting the bullet, and like, you know.
Now I'm thinking about it.
Absolutely.
Now I'm thinking about it, because it wasn't until I had to go back to the, I mean, this is what all I've been through the last 3 weeks. Is I go to the hospital, have something done, go home, have to go back to the hospital for more checks, then go back to the hospital, have more operations, go back home, go back to the hospital. Well, on one of these trips back and forth, I got the same nurse. Now, I don't remember her. And she says, "Hi, how you feeling?" And I said, "Hey, I feel 100% better. Thank you so much." She said, "Listen, I don't want to be out of line here." And she was very sweet. She said, "You might want to think about seeing a doctor about your toenail fungus on your left foot." And all of a sudden, everything came back to me, and I realized that I really had let my guard down and let this girl see
Right.
See the toe.
Yeah, I mean, if you got the toes, you probably, you know, I don't know. I think you've always said you didn't want to take that medicine. But now that you've had all this horrible stuff done, this thing's nothing.
Yeah, I think so. And after everything else that I've been through, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll just do it. And, Buzz, I believe that I did tell someone that you were gay.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then I'll be expecting a call from a hospital. A nurse or an orderly.
You know, they said I babbled a lot when I was under. And
you two didn't have adjoining rooms? It didn't work out that way where you guys were in the same room?
You know, the dream would be that it would be me and Buzz and Rob A's wife.
Right, right.
All of us in the same room together.
Sure, absolutely. Everybody taking care of their situation. You know, Rob's wife, the only one really not dire, you know, in dire straits.
Right. Now, but I feel much better today. I'm glad to be out of the house. I'm so glad. You know, for a long time, I thought my dream would be just to stay in my house all the time.
Right.
To never have to leave my house.
Now you know.
And now I know that there is absolutely no friggin' way I could stand it.
Freedom is a wonderful thing.
Amen.
To be sprung. And it really must be like being in prison, you know, to get out of the house or get out of the hospital after a long period of time. I know when I was in there, I mean, you feel imprisoned. Yeah. You really do.
Yeah, and even after I got out, I still couldn't leave my house, right. And I couldn't go to the bathroom without Frida helping me go to the bathroom, and
right.
Frida Barton helping me go up and down the stairs, and when Buzz came over, we commiserated about how I was tired of wearing sweatpants all the time, because while, like 2 weeks ago when Buzz came over,
right.
I couldn't wear pants because I would run the risk of busting out all of these stitches that I have on my left side.
Well, not a bad way to go. I mean, worked for Jim Elliot for a number of years.
Trying to cream spinach.
Hey, has anyone seen my 800 sweatsuit?
That's it, from the hospital standpoint. And again, these doctors were fantastic.
Good.
They knew exactly what they were doing.
Well, that's good news. I'm glad to hear that.
I don't have them today, but tomorrow I'm going to bring in some of the pictures, which are hard to discern
about they had the little camera in there with the arthroscope.
Yes, I have the videotape of both surgeries.
Good.
And you can actually see, it's almost like when you're looking at weather radar on TV,
right?
That unless you know what you're looking at, it's hard to figure out. But once you know what you're looking at, you can really see what a mess I had down there. How my urinary tract, like, would go squiggly, squiggly from side to side, and it was...
Hey, don't overload us with the medical jargon, okay?
No, but that's... When you look at the picture...
When you said the squiggly, squiggly...
It looked like one of those bendy straws, one of those crazy bendy straws.
And now they've fixed that a little bit.
Now it just... It just goes right from
the kidney,
right from the bladder, to the kidney, to the toilet.
That's good. And you say you're feeling better, you're functioning better.
Yes, it hurt like hell to pee. And listen, those cortisone shots, when they were giving me cortisone shots, you know I am a big baby, and
right.
I have a low threshold of pain.
Where do they put the needle?
Right in my side and right in my back.
Mm.
What they did the last couple of times was they would call a big orderly and they would sit me down and they would have an orderly put each of his big meaty hands around my ankles. They would take my right arm and physically strap it down.
Because they know you'd be jumping around so much when they did that?
They were putting the stuff in and I'm going, yeah! I mean, it's the worst.
Oof.
It was the worst. It was the worst pain ever. Worse than the peeing for 2 weeks. Oh. It hurt when I peed. But these doctors are great. Kudos to them. They're fantastic. And, you know, God knows with our effed up insurance how much it's going to end up costing me. But as of yet, it's not cost me one dime.
Beautiful. You will find I rarely say good things about this company, but it has been my experience, and Rob will probably back me up on this with having the babies and stuff. They seem to take care of you when you have something really, really bad.
They do. And these doctors were great, and they kept the amount of arthroscopic stuff as opposed to actually going in and just cutting me wide open. They kept that to an absolute bare minimum.
Good.
They could not have been better, and although I'm going to scream about her later, I do also want to say that my wife was wonderful during all of this stuff.
Oh, good.
Things didn't go bad until New Year's Eve.
Mm.
But before that...
She was wonderful. She was helpful.
She was
The greatest.
She was there for you. That's good to hear.
See, well, you know, if they come pick me up at the hospital, take me to the hospital, get me my cranberry juice, help me, you know, go to the bathroom. I had to go through the days when I couldn't bathe because I had all the stitches and stuff, and I would have to have the Elvis bath. You know, you get the sponge under the armpits and the sponge down around your ball area.
You better give that toe a wide berth when those days happen.
You just splash on a little aftershave. You know, I think I'd like a record like 5 days without washing my hair.
How did it feel after on the fifth day?
Awful.
Awful, yeah.
Felt awful. What I finally did was I called the doctor and I said, listen, I am really to the point with the sponge bath, this Elvis bath thing, I can't stand it. So what he said was, take a bunch of gigantic plastic freezer bags.
Okay.
What you want to do is, this is highly unorthodox, but take these bags and get some, like, duct tape.
Right.
And just duct tape over the areas where you have all the stitches.
Oh, man, what a pain in the ass.
Then go ahead, jump in the shower.
Right.
Make it a quick one and try to focus on having the water come down on the right side of the body where there were no stitches.
Boy, they didn't want any water in there, did they?
So you went from an Elvis bath to an Elvis girdle. And then Elvis being wrapped in saran wrap.
No. It wasn't wrapped in saran wrap, although it was very, you know, it was those big Ziploc fruit bags.
And it's always nice after that to take the duct tape off, too.
Oh, yeah.
Carefully. That's always fun.
It's a good test on the sutures.
I'll tell you the grossest thing I did, and I did it every time. Every time that I had to replace some of the gauze and stuff, I smelled it.
You should. Well, that's a good move. You should do that.
Every time I smelled.
Good. That's to make sure it's not infected.
Uh-huh.
So the maggots are down.
It was gross.
Are there times when you have to have fresh breath?
And I mean, there is.
Did it ever smell gamey?
Every time.
Oh, it did smell gamey.
Every time it smelled gamey.
Oh, dear.
I had to go as recently as, what's today, Monday?
Right.
Saturday. I had to go as recently as Saturday to have excess pus drain.
Oh, now you got me. There's the gag reflex.
From the side, a little inflammation on my side.
How's it? Has it calmed down a little bit?
Yeah, it's okay.
That's good. You're not going to have to do any dreaming during the show today.
I don't think so. I feel pretty good.
That's good.
I'll let you know, though.
Okay, absolutely.
At some point today, I'm going
to show the scar.
I'm going to pull up the shirt and I'm going to show you.
I think we'd all like to see the scar.
Right now, the one on the side, there's really not much to it.
Rob, you don't want to see the scar, huh?
The one on the back looks like, you know that thing on Herman Munster's head?
Yeah, with the like the zipper scar?
Right. The one on my back looks like that one.
That's where they kind of cut you open like a haddock?
Yeah, except it goes way up. And
was it all arthroscopy, or did they, the second time they had to really open you up?
They opened me up, but then once they opened me up, they went in with the laser.
Oh, okay. All right.
Just, when they opened me up the second time, you can't just make that small incision.
You got to get some room to work.
Yeah, you got to, you know, open it up. And I saw the videotape. This is the grossest part.
Did you see the videotape where they, like, cut you open?
Yes. And where they have these look like, you know, like barbecue tools when you're going to go out and have a barbecue?
Right, the tongs.
Yeah, they got, like, these big tongs. And what they did was they just split my back open.
Those are clamps.
Right? Yes, that would be the technical term, Mike.
Absolutely. Clamp.
And they would actually clamp each side, so they would peel my skin back.
Right.
Leaving a gigantic hole,
right,
just showing you this incredible mess that was in my kidney area.
Imagine when you start to watch that videotape, you see the clamps come in, and then all of a sudden you see the corkscrew, and you see a saw and a big mallet. You start getting a little edgy when you see those things, you know. See all these, like a giant clown shoe.
But they did great, and the one thing the doctors love doing, though, they love talking about how the doctors 35 years ago really effed this up.
Oh, yeah.
They all love that. Now,
it's amazing. To think that in 35 years from now, they'll just be light years ahead of where they are now. I mean, fortunately, modern medicine does continue to progress that way.
Well, you know, they tried to find out exactly why the doctors 35 years ago did what they did. I had a form of cancer on my kidney when I was a kid, when I was five.
Right.
Rather than just go in and remove the little bit of
kidney that had the cancer, or just take the whole thing out. Apparently, what they just went in, they went in like with a colander, and they just scooped out some and said, "Well, that's it. I think we got it. Okay, close them back up."
Right. That's not the way they should have done it.
No, I've had more doctors say to me, "Boy, what a mess this was." And they tried to find out what happened from the doctors 35 years ago, but hey, all those doctors are dead.
Yes, they are. They are no longer with us.
They are all dead.
But, you know, it's amazing though, the progress they made in 35 years. From now, you know, men our age might even be considered young.
They did great, and the one thing that just everything was great except the night that they got done with the major part of the surgery. I'm laying there, and it was the night I felt the worst. And Frida, again, by my side, as always, fantastic. I love her so much. She said, Alan called, general manager of WJFK. The radio reporter from the Washington Post called.
Effer.
And Vulture. He would like to speak to you.
And I was dying. Is he dying?
It's like I said, what did Alan tell him? And she said, well, Alan told him, you know, basically to go screw himself.
Amen. Way to go, Alan.
And he left the phone number in case you want to call him back. Like, yeah, gee, let me think. I'm lying in the hospital. I've just had pretty major surgery. Who am I going to call? Oh, yeah. I want to talk to Frank Ahearns first.
It's funny, no great curiosity when the good ratings news comes in.
No
phone calls to the GMM, but hey, if one of us is ill,
right.
Oh boy, ha, 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 sitting up in his tree, that vulture bastard.
Jesus Christ. There he is. Well, you're not getting dick from me.
There you go.
You want to find out about my surgery? Find out like everybody else. Listen to the goddamn radio.
Amen.
And then do what you always do. Just don't write anything anywhere.
Really?
You dumb prick.
Well, welcome back, and I'm glad that everything worked out for both of you guys. You both look very good.
Thanks. Very glad to be back. When we come back from this first break, I do want to tell you about some post-surgery fun.
Very good.
That I had, and the meltdown that was New Year's Eve, as I thought that the year 2000, which I thought was going to end so great, ended up ending not so great.
Sure.
But then things worked out all right.
Excellent.
In the end. But listen, now let me lay this on. You got a brand new contest.
Good.
The secret song.
The secret song?
Yes.
Hmm.
What we've done is taken a toe-tapping top 10 tune from the past, and we have we've manipulated it. And if you can identify the song,
like one would manipulate a prostate,
you could win $500 in cash. I'll give you a free listen right now. We consider this to be very easy, very big hit record. This has been digitally altered. Okay?
So what you've taken is part of a song and just messed with it.
Yes. What song is this? There you go.
I know it. That's easy. That's a lot easier than the secret sound.
Yeah.
Don't play it again. Everybody's going to get it now.
Do you want the truth? Rob, when you played it for me today, how many did I get?
You got, I think you are about 4 for 6 today.
4 out of 6 when I heard him on the first listen.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, he was fast.
Well, you're a musicologist that way.
So listen again. This is the song. You tell us what song that is, and you'll win $500. Gotcha, huh?
Yeah, another month of this.
Yeah. Hey, guess what?
Another month living outside that loop.
This is the easy one.
Oh, good.
The next one suffer?
When he hears the next one, he'll die.
All right, so be the 100th caller now.
All right, well, Mike O'Meara outside looking in.
Be the first caller of the new millennium. Phone number 877-365-3636.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Shot the money right now.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I like to say to all the sales guys and our sales staff, you're a bunch of faggots. You're faggots, a bunch of pussies.
Anyone in particular?
Must I name names? Yeah. You know who you are. You know who you are.
Name the old guys by name because we don't know their names.
I'm gonna call you Alan, you're a pussy. Steve, pussy.
There you go.
Goldstein, Johnson, pussy.
Isn't there a Pat?
Ivan, pussy. Pat, an old pussy. John, forget about it. You suck. Faggots, you pussy. All of you.
Paul Gorgie.
He's a handsome, stunning faggot.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
Broadcasting with a secret stash of past gas.
Right,
Don and Mike.
All right, here we go. Let's get our first call 100 of the brand new year.
Right here. Right here, right now.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hi.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Roy.
Roy, where are you from?
I'm from Idaho, out in Potlatch.
Roy? No better way to say Happy New Year than to tell you you've won 25 Durex condoms.
Oh, man.
Feel love. Feel love the way it's supposed to feel. Set yourself free with the most exciting condoms ever, Durex condoms.
All right.
Now you go for big bucks. You're the virginal sacrifice with the secret song. Although what's great about the secret song is that, unlike the secret sound, I would like to think that folks would at least give us a guess of one of their favorite songs, if they don't know.
Oh, I think you overestimate our listening audience. You know, they probably will just try to be wiseacres.
Do you think we're still going to get Stapler? Briefcase?
Yes, I do. It's a briefcase song.
All right, Roy, we'll play the snippet for you now.
Okay.
We'll get 15 seconds to think about it. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Good night.
And we wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this secret song.
Yeah. There it is.
I know it.
I guess you not. I had it on the first listen today.
It took me three. The third time you played it, I had it.
You really got it?
Yep.
Hold up your song.
And the odds are in your favor.
Right. I mean,
yes, but yeah.
No.
It's not mine?
No, it's not Danny Boy.
Okay, all right.
It's not Danny Boy.
Sorry.
For $500, what's the song?
Well, Mike, I can't believe you can't get that.
What is it?
That is plainly Born to Be Wild by Steppenwolf.
And that is...
Oh, we're sorry.
But listen, good guess.
Yes, all right.
Confident.
Good guess.
Welcome
Thank you.
Back, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. And don't forget that every guess is a clue
for you.
A clue for you.
Good to be back, then.
Oh, Mike, I'm surprised you didn't get it. Well, I want to say hi to my wife, who just checked in during the stop set.
Huh?
Wonderful, supportive. Well, remember all that nice stuff I just said about her?
Yes, right. Wonderful.
Forget it. Oh, listen, she calls in during the break, and she was out at the movies today.
Oh,
yeah. Another. Oh, listen, here's another supreme great moment by my wife today. Okay? Got to get up, got to get the kid ready for school. Boy's got his first day back at school, get carpool going. We get up, we get out of the house, we get to school, and Bart says, okay, I'll see you tonight when you get home from work. And I kiddingly said to him, hey, it looks like you don't have school today. There's no lights on in the school.
Right.
And I went, ha-ha. You know, I'm just kidding him. I drove away. I'm halfway home. Phone rings. Hey, Dad, I don't think I have school today. I said, no, come on. I thought he was kidding me.
Right.
I said, no, get out of here. Have a good day at school. Goodbye. Well, I'm very close to home. Phone rings again. It's my wife. She goes, oh, silly me. Read the calendar wrong. He doesn't have school today.
One extra day?
One extra day.
So oh, boy.
We've gone through the exit. I had to turn around and go all the way back to school.
Oh, man, after going through the whole routine.
And bring him all the way home.
And do you agree that as a parent taking their kids to school, isn't that kind of like you got ripped off on another day off?
Yeah.
I mean, because that's really, when my kids don't have school, but my daughter doesn't have school, that is kind of like a day off for me. That's the way I look at it. I really do.
For those of us in carpools today, those of us who were in the car, that was a total of 2.5 hours today in the car this morning, you know, going to, coming back, stopping, going back, putting the kids up, bringing all the kids back home. But it didn't stop her from enjoying her day, and she was going to go to the movie. So I just got a call during the break on the hotline. I said, hi, how you doing? She says, oh, we just got out of the movie.
Uh-huh.
I said, how was it? And she said, oh, you would have hated it.
What'd she go see?
The Crouching Tiger movie.
Okay.
She said, you wouldn't have liked it because of the subtitles.
Right.
I said, okay, great. And she said, well, have you been talking about your surgery the whole time you've been on? I said, oh, yeah. And she said,
I think that's a mistake.
What she said? She didn't say that to you very
much. I think it's a mistake. She said, why is it a mistake? She said, well, it's like people talking about stuff that only really matters to them.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Yeah. Okay, so I said, thank you, honey. Thank you. Goodbye. Click. And just when I thought things at home were getting closer to normal after our New Year's Eve experience. Now, keep in mind that while I was in and out of the hospital, we did manage a couple of little day trips. I mean, and by day trips, I mean we would sneak out either of the hospital or sneak out of home for 3 hours at a crack. The doctor said I could get out, and if I felt like it, I could sit in a movie.
Right.
And I could watch a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to tell you that even though you're hearing all the critical acclaim, I'm going to keep our streak going and tell you that Tom Hanks is once again highly overrated in the movie Castaway.
Castaway overrated.
Hmm. Overrated.
Wow.
Boring. I'm not saying this is a bad movie. Like I said, Forrest Gump was a bad movie.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying, and we've never disagreed on those assessments of Tom Hanks. Because we're both fence-sitters when it comes to Tom Hanks, and he's got a really... I was thinking this would be his last chance to entertain me.
And the part that everybody seems to love about this movie the most is the part that I hated, the hour and a half when he's on the island, when he's just talking to the volleyball.
Man, oh man. I didn't get a chance to see it, so I'm curious. Is it the same way? Well, I'm trying to think the movie. We really hated Forrest Gump when everybody loved Forrest Gump.
We did, and we really hated Saving Private Ryan except for the first half hour.
Right.
Virtually all of these critically acclaimed Tom Hanks movies that have come out over the last few years.
Right.
We have stood together on an island hating them.
I'm going to try to go see it this weekend.
And hate is too strong a word. It didn't do it for me, and it could have been partially because of the way I was. It was uncomfortable sitting in the movie chair.
Right, so you're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah, it's not as bad as the other ones.
Okay.
But the worst movie that we went to see, and listen, being as, despite what I just said about her, my wife was fantastic to me, taking care of me during all this illness thing, and she was dying to go see this stupid goddamn Mel Gibson movie where he can read women's minds.
What women want.
Yes, so... It's a big day trip for me. I'm excited to be able to get out of the house for a couple of hours. We're going to go out of the hospital. Going to see what women want.
Right.
I checked my watch in this movie 4 minutes into the movie. 4 minutes into a record.
Wow. Even with your lady in it.
Yes, with Helen Hunt.
The love interest. Oh.
4 minutes into this movie, I know that this movie is a piece of crap. But there are two factors at play. The first factor is, I'm not in a hospital bed.
That's a good thing.
I'm not in my bed at home. I'm actually out in my sweats. I'm watching a movie. And I'm watching a movie that's going to make my wife happy because she's been very, very nice and supportive of me.
Right.
So I'm sitting there. And thank God, you want to talk about the movie, basically, you know, it's about Mel Gibson can read women's minds.
Right.
Well, I'm telling you, it worked the opposite way, because for the first time ever in a movie, Frida leaned over to me about an hour into it, and she said, what do you think of this movie? And I looked at her, and I didn't know if I was being set up.
Yeah.
I said, not that great.
Mm-hmm.
She said, do you want to leave? And I said, oh, God, yes, I do.
She didn't like you either.
God damn, yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
And we got out of the theater, and I gave her a big kiss. and I said, this movie is about a man who can read a woman's mind, and you are a woman who read a man's mind.
That's a good thing.
And this movie is awful. Anytime,
it's an incredible feeling when you and your spouse come to a decision that you're going to walk out of a movie together. Right. It is terrific.
Mm-hmm. Anytime you got a movie... When they have to fill time by, and I'm not going to give away any of the plot, although it's, you know, he can read women's minds. There's one scene when his daughter, who he has a bad relationship with, his 15-year-old daughter, is going to buy a prom dress. And Mel Gibson takes her to a store to buy prom dresses.
Mm-hmm.
There's, while they're playing the Christina Aguilera song, What a Girl Wants, What a Girl Needs, there's about 10 minutes where it's shot after shot after shot of her coming out of the dressing room, wearing a dress, doing a little pirouette, turning around, and Mel Gibson, you know, vamping for the camera, putting his hand over his face or holding up a sign that says, how much? You know, anytime a movie resorts to that, when you have to fill 10 minutes
of, with a music video.
Yeah, of quick shots of the girl coming out,
right.
it's a waste. So We got up and left.
And not too overused in Hollywood either. You know, a technique for, you know, doing that reaction shot.
God bless her. So we were the cynical two, and I loved being arm in arm with my bride as we left the theater, and very loudly we were saying what a piece of crap it was and how predictable it was. As all of the housefrows who had gone out to get their popcorn halfway through the movie, who probably loved it being the dumb slobs that they are, they were walking by us on their way back in to this movie that they loved, as both my wife and I were saying, Jesus, could it have been more predictable? Well, I knew it was awful as soon as he started singing like Frank Sinatra. God, the movie's a piece of crap. And
she didn't find out how it ended then.
Well, no, I will hypothesize for you that Mel Gibson loses his power to read women's minds, but then discovers that he's learned so much along the way and has become a compassionate, caring man.
Yeah, it's not true. He's stabbed to death.
I wish. God damn, I wish.
Yes, it's a very tragic ending. He's stabbed to death by a woman who can read men's minds.
So the movie thing, that was great. We got out, and then New Year's Eve, I'm feeling a little more like myself.
Good.
And we're having a bunch of people from our neighborhood come down to our house for New Year's Eve to have a New Year's Eve party. And
so it's pesky British people again, isn't it?
Oh, and they were the stars of the show again. Greg and Sarah, they were the absolute stars of the show. I don't know, it's about like 4 o'clock on New Year's Eve, and Frida was standing at the sink, and she'd gotten some flowers, and she was doing the thing where you cut the leaves off the flowers, the stems of the flowers.
Trim them up, right.
And she's putting them in the bowl, and I walked over and said, hey, what's wrong? And she said, nothing. And I said, no, come on, what's wrong? And she goes, nothing. And I said, no, really, come on, what is it? She said, I don't want to talk about it. Now, at this point, I'm thinking everything's great, right? People are coming over tonight, and I'm going to be the bartender. I'm not going to get bombed because of all the stuff that I've had going on. I'm good, you know, I'm doing what she wants to do. She says, okay, you want to know what it is? And I said, yes. She said, you just don't care. And I said, now, at this point, I still wasn't mad. I said, well, what do you mean I don't care? She said, well, I asked you what you wanted to do, and everything I said, you said, I don't care. And I said, yes, I think I'm giving you the highest compliment, that I'm saying, really, I don't care what we do. As long as I'm with you, I'm going to be happy.
That's a nice thing to say.
As long as we are together, I'm going to be happy. She said, but you just don't care. I said, no, I care about the most important thing, that we are together. I don't care if we go to a restaurant. I don't care if we, you know, take a limo to a bar somewhere. I don't care if we go up the street. I don't care if people come down. I don't care. And she said, that's exactly it. You just don't care. The holidays are special and you just don't care.
Tick, 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 tick.
And,
tick, 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 tick,
and I'm still
tick,
trying to figure this out because it's not that I don't care. I care. It's just like, I don't give a crap what we do.
So she wants you to have an opinion. She wants you to enthusiastic about the evening. Right?
But it's not that I have not been enthusiastic. I said when everybody arrives here tonight, I'm going to be gregarious. I'm going to be a great host. I'm going to be very friendly. I'm going to, you know, do all the work. I'm going to get all the drinks and serve people and everything. And, you know, at this point, I still haven't pulled out the trump card yet, you know, about the fact that, hey, listen, honey, you know, major surgery just 2.5 weeks ago. And
that trump card is just moments away from being pulled out, right?
And she shot it right down. She shot it right down because I said to her, I still don't get this thing about you just don't care. I said, I do care. She said, no. She says, do you care what we do tonight? And I said, no, whatever you want. And she said, that's the problem. It's not special. The holidays aren't special. And then I said,
do you think during that time at all that maybe you look at her and say, I would really like to have the neighbors down. That's what I really, just to turn it around that way, or?
But no, because she knows that I,
that you really don't care.
Yeah. I don't. I mean, whatever she wants is fine. And I would think that that's the way she likes it. That's, you know, as she pointed out to me later when she was out of her mind drunk, you know,
it's our 20th New Year's Eve we've spent together in a row. I love you.
You know, so it all came together later. And then I said the thing that I shouldn't say to her, the one thing that sets her off, and it's not the C word, and it's not the B word, and it's not the MF word. It was something else. I said, I made another comment about my wife's lifestyle, and that is when we reached the boiling point. That is when she started muttering.
Happy effing New Year.
She started, you know, I said, I'll tell you what I said. I said, poor spoiled little rich girl. Just can't get what she wants.
Oh,
you can do anything you want in the world, and I'll go along with poor, spoiled little rich girl.
I can certainly see that setting her off.
And as soon as... F you, Mike. As soon as I said that, boom, we went to DEFCON 4.
Right.
And she left the room muttering, which she never does.
Yes.
And as she left the room muttering, I screamed something out at her.
Did you pick up any of the muttering as she was leaving the room?
No, it was just like... Don't care. So she goes upstairs and she's still screaming at me upstairs. I said, hey, if you want to scream at me, come downstairs. Scream at me downstairs. Let's scream. Come on, let's get this out. So she came downstairs, and I mean, it was, she's like, why would you say that to me? I said that to you because you can really do anything you want on New Year's. Anywhere you want to go, you know, within reason, anywhere you want to go, I'll do it. Anything you want to do, I'll do it. She says, but you don't care. I said, no. I still don't think it's a crime that I've said I don't care.
And you don't care because you're kind of recovering from your thing.
I can't use that as an excuse.
Well, you would, if you were 100% physically, you wouldn't care.
I'd say, I don't care. You know, whatever you want. Whatever.
You care about other stuff. It's just not the particular evening we're talking about.
Yeah, no, you know, whatever makes my wife happy. She's happy, I'm happy. So then she says... Well, you just don't care. And then I stopped, and I thought I'm going to win it, because then I said, okay, can I tell you something? And I mean, at this point, I'm screaming at her. I swear to God, I'm saying it, I said, for the last 2 weeks, I haven't bothered you with it, but I've been pissing blood, and I cry when I go to the bathroom, and my side is killing me, and I got stitches that are being popped, but you know what? I'm still going to this goddamn party tonight for you. For the last 2 weeks, I've lowballed it with you because you don't want to be bothered with it. I've suffered a lot on this, but... This is it!
This is a remarkable recreation we're getting right here. I mean, outside of the decibel level, perhaps, but yeah, bravo.
I'm giving it to you.
I feel like we're right there.
This was it, and she just looks right at me, and she just said, but you don't care.
Oh, man.
I do care! And then she said, you don't care. And then I said, fine. F you. And I got my car keys, and I got in the car. And I pulled my car out of the driveway, and I pulled up the street, and I realized, you know what? I had just popped two stitches. That being in a car...
Did you pop two stitches during the argument?
No, 2 days earlier.
Oh, okay,
good. You know,
I was going to say, that was intense.
I get in the car, and I realize, who am I kidding? The last thing in the world I can do is drive a car.
Not supposed to be driving.
Yeah, I'm not supposed to drive. That's the last thing I can do. Okay. So I get to the top of my street. It's like I go, Jesus Christ, I can't even leave when I'm mad.
Yeah.
So I drive back down, I pull into the garage, come inside, I go over to her, and I extend the olive branch. I said, hey, listen, I'm sorry. I've just been uptight about not being able to leave the house and all this other stuff. You know, I do care. I just want you to be happy. And then she would not let it go. She said, why did you have to call me that name? Why that name? And the more I tried to explain, the bigger hole I kept digging myself in. I said, well, I called you that because really you could do anything you want. I think I'm giving you the greatest gift in the world. Anything you want to do, you name it and we'll do it tonight. But you don't care. I said, no! I don't care. You pick. We'll do it.
So it starts up again.
Yes. And then at that point, she starts screaming at me.
Uh-oh.
At a decibel level that is similar to the decibel level I've been screaming at her with. And at that point, I figure I'm going to turn around. So I'm sitting down very calmly at our breakfast bar, and I said, who's yelling now? And she said, you yelled at me first. I said,
it helps me when you're telling the story to get the location that you sit down at the breakfast and picture that.
Yes.
That makes me visualize it all the more.
She's standing behind the sink,
right,
still doing the stuff, screaming at me. And
so this is pretty much like sitting across the table. I mean, you're a thin little table.
Yes, all of this is happening in the kitchen.
Right.
I said, well, now, which one of us is yelling now? I'm being calm now. She said, well, you just got done yelling at me. I said, but you push my buttons. And she said, okay, that's it.
That's it. Just do me a favor. Just leave me alone. Just get out of here until cooler heads prevail. I said, hey, listen, I came back, cooler heads prevailed. I came back and said, I'm sorry, you didn't accept it.
This is when I think men and women, when as a man, and I'm the same way, you want that closure.
Yes, please.
Where a woman has an ability to say, stop it now. I'm going to go off and be mad, and there will be no closure.
No.
I think that drives a lot of guys crazy.
Of course it does.
So she said to me, why do you continue to come back and want to keep this going? I said, I don't want to keep it going. I want to end it.
Finish it.
You want to finish it, have it tied up.
She said, no, just do me a favor. Just leave me alone. Go watch. Oh, Tampa Bay is on against Philadelphia. Go watch the game you love so much. You know, like it's a crime because I like watching football.
Does she do that with her hand when she's doing that?
Go watch your game. So that all right? F you. I go in the other room and I sit down and I watch the game. And the whole time I'm watching the game, it's like I'm feeling my hands and my face. I'm like I'm feeling like I'm burning up with fever because I'm so pissed at her. And she would come in every once in a while. She'd like come in. Buzz, as a matter of fact, you called up.
Yes.
With the wrong number.
Yes.
Okay. She came in and she said, who was on the telephone? Very measured.
Right.
I said, it was a wrong number. Who was it? It was no one. It was really for me. It was a wrong number. Oh, can I help you with anything else? No. Thank you. Thank you. leave the room.
Yeah. Right.
So, to give you the timeline on this started at 4 p.m. The Cold War started at 5 p.m.
The icy silence began at 5 p.m.
And it wasn't until 7 p.m. that she decided that the fight was going to be over.
Was she feeling good at that point?
Well, I guess she'd been stressed out about having people come over, so she came up to me.
Oh, yeah, before the people arrive, she wants to...
She came over and she said, hi, listen, come on, let's love, let's... Come on. And I gave her, admittedly, a half-hearted love. You know, it was like, I said, okay. She said, you're still mad. I said, no. No, I'm not. But I was. I was still mad. Because now, see, this is where a guy can keep it going.
Right.
Because now she wants to end it, but I'm not going to let her shut it down. I'm not going to visibly give her a sign that I'm mad, but she knows I'm still mad.
When a man and woman are competing for who's going to have the higher ground in closing the argument, of wrapping things up, and you realize that she needs you to wrap it up at this point, and it's advantaged you as well.
Yeah, and I'm not wrapping it up. And as people start coming over, I make sure that she's in the room when she sees that when I've been with her, I've been monotone, very measured responses. And when someone else is like, hey,
right.
Hey, it's great to see you.
Come in.
Can I get you a drink? I'm your bartender tonight.
Oh.
I am making drinks for everybody. I'm not imbibing myself to a large degree tonight. Come on in, everybody. And I guess about 8:30, people started arriving a little before 8. She came over to me about 8:30. She had finished her first Cosmopolitan and was well on her way to her second.
What is a Cosmopolitan?
That is a girl's martini.
Ah, okay.
Like the kind they serve on Sex in the City.
Right, okay.
Okay, so she comes to me. She says, you're still mad? I said, no. No, I'm not mad at all. She says, you're still mad? Let me know when you get over it. I'm happy now. And that was a direct quote. I'm happy now.
Now, that's still kind of confrontational, I would say. You know?
No. It was, and here's, maybe you're right. Here's how I
don't want to stir things up again.
Here's how I interpreted that, though. It's like she dictates when the fight starts. She takes it to this level where it gets escalated, and I will take equal blame for escalating it.
Right.
But then all of a sudden, it's like she comes over and says, I'm not mad anymore. I'm having a good time now. And I wasn't quite ready to give in yet.
Right.
So she said, well, have you had anything to drink? And I said, I poured a martini, but I just don't feel like drinking it right now. And she said, you get a little bit to drink, you'll be fine. You get a little bit to drink, you'll be fine. Well, I'm here to tell you that for the first time ever at one of our New Year's Eve parties, I had a couple of glasses of wine, and I was having a good time, but I was, without a doubt, the most sober member
of the party. Because I was the bartender
right.
for everybody else, and it was like looking at something through a two-way mirror.
Pretty interesting.
I guess all of the years that I had not been quite as together as I was this year.
Right.
I saw people, I won't name any names, but I saw people fall down. I saw people throw up.
Oh, my goodness.
We had to ask one of our guests to leave the home, taking a bucket from our home, because that person was puking as they walked up to their house just three homes away.
Boy, it was a festive New Year's Eve.
One member of our party decided that she was going to take a home pregnancy test. And
there at the party?
No, she went into the bathroom, but came out with it to show everybody that the results were positive. And when she came out, as people started to look at this, we realized that it was still wet. And we also realized...
Stick it in the stream.
We also realized that she had it upside down.
Oh.
Meaning that, of course, that the results were negative, not positive.
I would say probably in the condition she was in, the results probably wouldn't have been true either way.
There was lots of dancing, lots of very homo activity.
Really?
I mean,
of men hugging men kissing men?
It was mainly... one-sided homo, but I'll tell you that I wasn't bombed like the rest of them, but there was a bottle of wine there, and I had two or three glasses of wine. And at one point, Gary, now he's the British guy. Gary and Sarah are the British people. And he would just do this to me. He would come up, and he would just take my face in his hand and just kiss my forehead.
Ah.
There was a lot of that, and there was a lot of bonding, like when we would put new CDs on, there would be... Oh, the Bee Gees. You like the Bee Gees? I love the Bee Gees.
Things get a little more passionate.
Yeah, and that would be like hugging and like, oh, the Bee Gees. Oh, the Bee Gees are the greatest.
Did it feel good when everybody left? I mean, after that, being on the outside looking in, basically?
Well, here's how the evening ended. It was 1:45, and... at that point, I was not drunk anymore. I was tired, and I just turned to the whole group, and I said, that's it. I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
Good night.
So you turned in and left the party behind. What time did things finally break up?
3, 4.
Wow.
All I know is that yesterday afternoon, when I saw my neighbor Gary, it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and he still had his PJs on. And apparently at one point, as everybody was leaving, a bird flew into our house. And everybody was real drunk and stuff. But, Frida remembered some goddamn superstition that if a bird flies into your house, unless the bird flies out of the same door it flew in, someone's going to die.
Oh, my God.
I swear to God, I don't know where she gets this junk
from. How many cosmopolitans before that old wives' tale surfaced?
This was courtesy of her mother. And
really?
So apparently Frida and a lot of the people at the party, by this time I was in bed, they spent maybe a half hour
trying to get the bird to go out the front door.
Right. I came down the next morning. I came down on Monday morning, yesterday morning, and I noticed that the angel from the top of the Christmas tree was broken and on the ground, and there were about 4 or 5 Christmas balls from the Christmas tree that were just broken on the floor.
Somebody had been lunging at the bird?
Yeah. And I said, what was going on? I said, we tried to catch the bird.
Catch the bird.
And I don't think Frida caught the bird until yesterday morning, and she was running around the house like a mental patient.
You know what'll help catch a bird?
With a broom.
Oh,
hold on. Here we go.
Happy New Year.
www.egars.com.
Kill the bird. Happy New Year.
Hottest cigar site on the planet.
Well, let me try to call her very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's all I had for you. That's it. I'm out. What's wrong with these phones? Hello. They've been revamped for 2001.
Gotcha. The only thing I don't understand is this weird superstition about the bird.
I've never heard that before.
Because we did the rabbit thing when we got up first thing yesterday morning.
Right.
And last night, hey, hola.
Hola.
Hola. Oh, and incidentally, a great, great, great play by Frida and I on Christmas morning with Bart.
Why?
I was not fooled at all.
Oh, you were totally fooled.
I was totally not, because you guys wrote that stupid tag in the goofy handwriting.
No, listen.
And those were the only tags that Mom used.
No, you're so wrong. You know, he wanted, like every kid in America, he wanted PlayStation 2.
Right.
So I got him PlayStation 2, but what we did was genius. We packed it in a different box, and we put the tag on the box to Mom. So,
right.
Bart opened up all of his gifts on Christmas, and he got some nice stuff. He got a watch, and he got this big boom box for his bedroom, and he got some CDs. But I know that he was disappointed that he didn't get this PlayStation 2, because I've been telling him for the last month, it's impossible. I can't get it.
Right.
Well, Dad.
Yeah?
If you want to talk about faking out.
All right, listen, yes, but I don't have time to get into that now, but yes, you did fake me out with your gift.
I had you worse.
Yes, Bart had me worse. But just listen to this. So, it's the last, we're all done opening everything.
Right.
And we're sitting around, and we say, boy, that was a great Christmas. Really good. And I can tell that he's disappointed, but he's not letting on. He's like, yeah, it was real good. I said, oh, hold on. There's
putting up the good front.
There's one gift left for Mom.
No, it's not like, it became a little suspicious, Dad, when I say, Mom should open one, and you go, no!
No, that's not how it happened.
Yeah, it is.
Listen, we faked you out with that. But anyway, where's Mom at? Put her on.
Oh, wait there.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, we totally faked him out. Because then...
He says, all right.
She fooled him, because she opened the box, and she went like, well, what could this be? And
okay,
then,
that did not fool me at all.
Oh, no, yes, it did.
Cause, okay.
Because Mom...
I asked Mom, who wrote that tag? Nobody writes like that, doof. And she goes, Mike, were you feeling sick when you wrote that?
All right, Mom did drop the ball there because she had written the tag. the tag that said Mom, she'd written it herself.
Right, right.
And my wife is left-handed. I believe she wrote it with her right hand.
Hello.
So it was disguised her hand. Hey, honey, don't you think we fooled him on that PlayStation thing?
He didn't know what it was till Christmas morning.
I mean,
that's fine.
Even until the last minute when there was that one box left.
I knew before that.
Well, it's Sugar Bear. It didn't matter to me if he figured it out 5 or 10 minutes before he opened it. He didn't know until Christmas morning.
So the camouflage box with two Mom on it fooled him throughout the holiday season.
Yes, it was buried under the tree. He really wasn't examining it. He figured it out right before, but it wasn't that supposed to be that good a disguise.
Oh, but it was. It was a beautiful disguise. All right, you can hang up now, son. All right, love you. All right, I'm sure he meant to say I love you, too, of course.
You love Teddy, too, right, Bart?
Hey. Honey,
you love Teddy, too, right?
Honey, what's the deal with that, with this bird crap? Oh, and listen, and the bird, incidentally, crapped in our house.
Bird crap. It must have spent the night on our chandelier because we noticed the dining room table had been pooped on the next morning.
Well, when you finally got rid of it, did it fly out the front door?
But, I threw a sheet over it. By this time, I was exhausted from having hit the windows all night, and I had to climb up on a ladder. It was up at a tall window, throw a sheet over it, and carry it outside, and then out the front door, right.
And this is a superstition passed down from your mom?
Yeah.
Like all good superstitions.
I don't...
And the superstition was what? If a bird flies at the front door and flies out another door, someone's going to die?
If it doesn't go out the door it came in, someone's going to die.
Wow. Nutty.
Well, I mean, it's an accurate superstition, but, I mean, just saying someone's going to die. What, somebody's going to die in that house?
Well, I think it means somebody you know, not pick up the newspaper the next day and look at the obituaries. I mean, it's a friend or family will die.
All right, honey. I was just double-checking on that.
All right.
Okay.
I could keep you informed, my boo-boo.
All right. And remember, I don't care, but that's not bad.
I know you don't care.
That's not bad that I don't care.
You got mad because I said you don't care when you tell me all the time.
For a second.
When you tell me all the time you don't care.
But it's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean I don't care.
I said it was a bad thing. That's where you got all defensive.
Well, you were sitting at the sink like mopey dopey, like.
I just had a lot to do. I don't ask you to do anything because A, you hadn't been feeling that well, and B, you don't care.
I do care.
Oh, my God.
No, it's not starting again.
It is starting.
The point is,
you know what? I don't even want to discuss it. It was one thing that was nice about your being on vacation and being sick is that I could say whatever I want, except I made the mistake of
getting mad at you 2 days before you went back, and then not worry about having to rehash it or having to hear your convoluted, distorted version of it on the radio.
What is convoluted and distorted?
I'm not, you know what? I learned this years ago when we went to marital counseling, and I'm sure that's helpful.
Oh, honey, it's 10 years ago.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, and I'm sure marriage counseling is helpful for many, many people, but for us, what would happen is we'd have an argument, and then we'd go in that week, and they'd say, you know, what had happened, and we'd talk about our argument, and it would just get me mad all over again. So I'm not going to reenact the argument now because I'll get irritated all over again.
But I do care.
All right, yeah.
I just don't care.
Yeah, you care a lot.
See, this is exactly what happened. And why is it a crime if I care in my heart?
You're saying it's a crime.
Okay, then why do you run me that attitude?
Because you're disagreeing with me. Why don't you just say, you're right, I don't care.
No, hold on. I do care.
However I can.
I do care about you, and I care about your feelings, but as far as specifically what we do, I don't care.
I know, so why do you argue that point?
Because you won't give that point up to me.
I'm repeating what you tell me, you don't care.
So you take I don't care out of context. I do care. I care about the emotional stuff.
I didn't say you didn't care about emotions.
So
all
we're talking about is logistics, that I don't care
exactly where
we have dinner, and I don't care where. Then why'd you get so worked up about it?
Because you argued like I was calling you names, like I was saying something bad about you. I said to you, I don't blame you. I said, I don't care about football. It's not a judgment on you. It's just a fact of life.
It wouldn't have started if you weren't having some kind of a visible breakdown in front of the sink on
Saturday.
Well,
you know what's good? When I'm under a little stress because folks are coming over and I have a lot to do, to come in and critique me and argue with me, that's a wise move, and every husband knows that. You just kind of stand back and let me do my thing.
You started it, though.
Huh?
You started it because I came over concerned, said, what's the problem?
Yeah, and I made the mistake of telling you what things were on my mind, and you start arguing with me when I had 1 million things to do, and I was stressed.
But that's really what you were mad about. You weren't mad about the fact that I don't care what we did.
I was mad because you wouldn't leave me alone and you were arguing the fact that you don't care when you don't care.
But I do care. I do care about what's important. I don't care about the logistics.
All right, you care. You care so much about what we do and where we go and how the house looks and having everything nice and ready and what we're going to serve. You care.
Honey, that I don't care about. You're right, but that's your job.
That's the stuff I was talking about.
Well, you've known I don't care about that. That's not a revelation after 20 years.
I didn't say it was a revelation. You were arguing with me. I said, it's no big deal. I know you don't care.
All right. But I do care.
Oh, God.
Hello?
What?
Okay.
And you just made me mad all over again for no good reason.
Oh, come on. You're not really mad.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay, have fun with your friends.
Hey,
I'll see you later.
Honey, I know you're not mad.
Play with the boys. We have spent way too much time together. Hang with your friends. Stay there at work. Enjoy. Fart. You know, look at each other's toes. Have a good time there. I'm sick of you. I mean, I love you, but I've seen you just a little too much. I've heard, I'm sorry that you were sick, and I love you, and I hate anything that happened to you. I'm tired of the kidney. I'm tired.
Hey, hold on. Hold on, like I told you tonight, I've lowballed that with you. I haven't spent a lot of time complaining.
Thank God. Okay, thank God.
I have not spent any time complaining to you.
Okay, well, have a good day at work, sweetie. I'll talk to you when you get home.
All right.
All right, goodbye.
See?
That look on your face.
How can I win?
That's how I know that it's kind of real when you give me that look right there.
I mean, I'm serious.
You didn't approach the level you had before, but it was starting up again with that.
That was exactly how it started the other day.
Right.
You know, I do care.
Pretending to care is not an option, right? Pretending to care about the stuff you really don't care. I know you care at the basic level, but pretending to care.
No,
we can't. I can't. I'm not telling you to do something. I can't do it myself.
What am I going
to
do? Hey,
I can't pretend about care about stuff that we neither one of us. You and I think that's an admirable quality. You and I have never been able to care about something we don't care about.
You're not supposed to care about the fact you got the flowers.
Oh, beautiful flowers. Look at the flowers. The flowers. No one notices the flowers when people come over to the house. People come over to your house on New Year's Eve. You know what they want to do? Eat and get drunk.
Right? And they notice if there's, like, dog turd in the middle of the floor.
Yeah, that they notice.
So you got to keep that on the
wraps. So clean the dog poop up. That's it.
Okay.
That's it. Oh, except for I just want to say F Air Express.
Airborne Express?
Airborne Express.
Oh, way to go. You had a bad experience with them.
I had... The worst experience.
I've had a bad experience with them.
Because obviously I was not able to get out of the house, in the hospital so much, blah, 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 blah. I had to do a lot of my stuff for Christmas, for Frida specifically, online.
Right.
And there was something I ordered on December 13th.
Should be there.
Yep. Okay.
Well, Express. I mean, overnight air service. That's why it's called Airborne.
Here's the deal with Airborne Express. This item was coming from... Seattle, and I tracked it on their website.
Right. I love it when you give salmon.
It went from Seattle to Rockville, Maryland, in one day.
All right.
Rockville, Maryland, is about 15 miles from the city I live in, Virginia. Do you know that that package did not arrive at my home until December 27th?
There you go.
And do you know that every day I would call Airborne Express, after waiting on hold, and thank God I was sick, I had nothing else to do, and here, thank you for calling Airborne Express. Every call is important to us. Airborne Express will be closed on Monday, December 25th. Please stand by for the next operator. So you stand by for half friggin' hour. And I'm not exaggerating about that. The woman come on and go, Airborne Express, can I have the tracking number, please? I give her the tracking number. She go, yeah, I'm afraid that we misfiled that, put that in the wrong zip code. And finally, after a week, I called up and I said, listen, just tell me where it is. I'll have someone just come pick it up. It was either in Rockville or Arlington or Alexandria.
Right.
I said, I'll just have one of my friends drive down to your warehouse and pick it up. Mm-hmm. She said,
well, I'm sorry, but we currently do not know which warehouse the item is at.
There you go. So they weren't able to track it.
So, I mean, I was seriously losing it with them. Like, where I said, let me speak to a supervisor, and she said, there's none available. And I said, I do a national radio show for CBS.
You know, when we get to that level.
I said, you won't be happy with the things that I have to say about Airborne Express. Well, I really can't. I can't help that. We're very sorry. We're very busy on Christmas. I said, listen, hold on. You have now had, this was, I think, December 23rd. I said, you've had this 15 minutes from my house for 10 days.
Right.
You're
supposed to be there overnight.
You can't manage to bring this thing? Well, no, we've lost it, and you understand that our drivers are running late, blah, 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 blah. Finally, on December 27th, the thing shows up, and the bastards don't even ring the bell. I just happen to be hobbling around the house, and I go to the front door, and I see that they've just thrown this box out on the porch. Never bothered to ring the bell and say, hey, we're finally here.
Right, right.
We just wanted to say, F Airborne Express. I'm serious. They're the worst. And I told them I'd talk about them. F them.
There you go.
They suck. They suck my...
Hey,
big wiener. You're the worst.
Happy holidays.
It was very, very frustrating. It was more than frustrating. Just right. trying to track. Because, you know, I'm looking at, the bitch on the phone says, well, we show it in Rockville. I said, honey, I see that here on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
I see that it's in Rockville. Rockville is 20 minutes from where I live. How about I get a guy in a taxi, you know, and then I start saying, well, listen, I would pick it up myself, but I've just had major surgery.
Right.
How about if I send someone, a friend, to pick it up?
Take out taxi.
Yeah. Can't do it. F them. They're the worst. Never send anything Air Express. Airborne Express.
I would say the same about UPS because I had a similar experience over the holidays.
Well, my UPS guy was okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got no complaints with him.
They usually are. I love everybody.
No, you got...
Especially Walt Disney Corporation.
You got some hate coming up.
Yeah,
I certainly have monopolized enough time with this. When we come back, we'll hear about Mike's grand vacation.
Disney.
That includes the auto train.
The farto train.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Please do, because the chit-chat, a-hole.
Even better than a nice stab in the ass, the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, what is nicer than that?
Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, you guys were talking about superstition with the bird.
Yes, honey.
Yeah, I know that is actually true.
Well, it's a superstition, so it's not really true.
Well, I don't know. I never believed it myself, but when I worked in a factory about 10 years ago,
yeah,
an older lady came in one morning. She was all upset, and I asked her what was wrong. She says, well, I found a bird in my house this morning. And I was like, well, why would that upset you? She says, because every time you see a bird in the house, someone dies. About 2 days later, her father-in-law passed away. And then with me, in 1997, I moved into a townhouse in Maryland.
No one knew exactly how the bird got in the house.
No, it was a mystery. I never asked her how it got in. But in my house, I had a nest of birds that had built a nest up above the exhaust vent in my stove. So I woke up.
I heard in certain freeways in California, now all over the country, if you give someone the bird, you can die.
Yeah, that's true. I give a lot of people the bird.
Well, what does that have to do with this? If the bird that flew into the house had left through the same door, whoever died wouldn't have died?
I don't know, but in my case, it came in through the exhaust vent of my stove, and I chased it out through the French doors.
Yeah, you should have let it out the exhaust vent.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Through the exhaust. I heard a rumor that if a full-grown deer gets into your house, you'll come into a lot of money.
It's true.
You have to eat all the meat, though.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don.
Oh, about deer.
Good to be back.
My brother sent me today.
Uh-huh.
I got my Christmas gift from him today.
What did he send you?
The gaudiest.
Oh, hold on. I'll take this call first.
Hello.
Don.
Yes.
I have some very sad news for you.
Yeah.
TV's Ray Walston has gone to his great reward.
Mr. Hand.
Mr. Hand died?
Yes, I had.
Today?
You didn't break into that bulletin?
No, I did not.
Oh, my word. That's Mr. Hand.
It's Mr. Hand. I know.
You were scooped by a listener. Don't start 2001 like that.
What kind of a newsman are you, Buzz?
That's a bad story.
That's Buzz's story. I'm sorry. I'm giving Buzz credit for that one. If he had it. You were sitting on it, huh?
Yes. That was going to be my big story.
Oh, it's to be his lead. Buzz, in this modern age of up-to-the-minute information.
You're right.
You cannot sit on these stories.
You're right.
Buzz, I'm sorry.
That's quite all right, sir.
My favorite Martian is dead.
Yes, he is.
Mr. Hab.
Gee, Mr. Spicoli, I don't know. I'll put that on the board for the whole class to see. I don't know, Mr. Spicoli.
All right. Yeah, we love him.
Get a good one. Help yourselves.
We loved My Favorite Martian.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
Buzz, you were scooped.
Yes, I was.
Oh, listen, Lisa just brought in, very disappointed with our listeners, about Playboy.com.
Yes. What happened?
You know, I know that we've not been here for nearly 3 weeks, but Hannah Storm is in third place now.
Oh, really?
Yes, on Playboy.com. As we continue our quest to get her to be voted the sexiest sportscaster, when we originally started 3 weeks ago, when we mentioned it for a couple of days,
right,
she had 890 votes.
Mm-hmm.
She now has 26,511 votes.
Cool. That makes me laugh anyway.
But she's in third place. First place is Jill Arrington.
Jill has moved into first place.
From CBS, 39,000 votes. Second place is Melissa Stark.
Right.
With 34,000 votes. Hannah Storm is in third place, 26,000, although she's still 1,000 votes ahead of Bonnie Bernstein.
There you go.
So, listen, if you want to laugh, I didn't think that this contest would be going on past the time we got back from vacation,
right,
but it is.
Log on, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, go to Playboy.com and vote for Hannah Storm as the sexiest sportscast.
Yeah, we can bring her a total up again. We can get her back to number one.
Yeah, we'll hype it up today and tomorrow and see what happens. Because look at that, over the last 3 weeks, over 25,000 people voted for her.
That is fantastic.
So keep them coming, please. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, hey, Don and Mike.
Yes, hi.
Hey, how are you? So you guys broke for break that last Friday. On Sunday, it was kind of funny. I was thinking of you guys. I had a breakfast with my wife and mother-in-law down at a place in Crawford called Rick's All-American Grill. And it was funny because Kathy Lee Gifford's parents were sitting next to us. And, like, my wife's mother and the mother were talking about grandchildren and all this kind of stuff. And and it was just hilarious. I was just thinking about you guys, and I didn't really put it together until after we left, because my wife had told me, yeah, they live in Bowie, and that was them. Come to find out, her father is kind of like the mother's the mouthpiece, just like in their relationship.
So
I mean, she drags him around.
So you mean Kathy Lee's mother did most of the talking?
Oh, the old guy didn't say a word. He just kind of sat there. I thought he was
going to pass
on his plate.
Oh, that's hereditary. Absolutely.
Shocker. So what were Kathy Lee's parents... So Kathy Lee's parents were talking with your parents at this restaurant?
Yeah, with my brother-in-law.
What were they talking about?
Well, she was just talking about, like, having her grandchildren and all this kind of stuff. And like I said, it kind of sucked because I was sitting right there, and I didn't even pay attention. The only reason I found out is because the owner of the place came over and started talking to him because they're, like, regular Sunday people.
You know how I know this guy? You know how you can always tell little clues that a guy's telling the truth? I can tell this guy's telling the truth when he says, I was sitting there, and he's with his wife and his mother-in-law, and he's not paying any attention to what's going on around him. That means this is a true story.
Sure. Amen.
My,
all right.
My kid was sitting there, like, looking around. I'm, like, looking at him. Lady's like, oh, well, my grandchildren are nice and peaceful, too. I'm sitting there. And after I walked out of the restaurant, my wife told me that. I was like, okay.
So you didn't know while you were sitting there that you were talking to, that your wife was talking to Kathy Lee's parents?
No, I just thought she was talking to a couple old people. I mean,
so her parents,
just sitting right next to us.
Kathy Lee's parents never mentioned them as Cody and Cassidy?
No, she didn't mention old Cody and Cassidy or...
Yeah. Was the mother wearing a lot of jewelry?
Oh, my God. Well, she was dressed up. She was kind of like... she had this old white beehive-looking hairdo, kind of. Uh-huh. It was kind of bouffant. You could tell that it was kind of windblown. But, you know, she just kept yakking the whole time, and she was, like, talking about, you know, food and how
she eats
food off of her husband's plate and stuff. Sorry.
What was the dad wearing? Was Kathy Lee's dad wearing, like, one of those Commodore Schmidlop outfits? You know what I mean? Like the Admiral's hat with a scrambled head.
Buttons up the side.
Yeah.
No, if I'm not mistaken, he was wearing, like, kind of an older, like, not leisure suit type, but it was kind of like a...
Members-only jacket?
No, not a members-only. That would have been great.
Usually that uniform should just be a members-only jacket and a dog collar.
Well, no, that's how she was leading him around. I mean, I thought the guy was seriously getting ready to pass out, and she was just going to have to grab him by the teeth and tear him out of there.
By any chance, did they mention if a bird had flown into their home recently?
Yes, they did. They said it was actually a pterodactyl. So, like I said, I wasn't saying too much.
All right, guys. All right, see ya.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call. I didn't think she had white hair, though. I believed him at first, and I didn't believe him at the end.
Hello. Well, no, I believe him. Come on.
White hair, old people, yeah.
Why is he going to make that up, though? Who wants to make up the fact that they had lunch next to Kathy Lee's bag?
I just thought I'd get a little soft on the holiday.
Hello, John and Mike Show.
Donnie.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm from New York. I think I'm the youngest Don and Mike listener in the tri-state area.
How old are you, sir?
15. I've been listening ever since.
You're not allowed to call until you're 18.
Really. I've been on O&A a couple of times, and first time calling the Don and Mike Show.
All right, well, listen, son, first off, always pull out.
All right.
And remember,
protect myself.
Babies having babies, we're opposed to that.
Absolutely. All right.
And we'll talk to you when you're 18.
No.
All right, what?
I have tape of Mike predicting the election results, verbatim. Listen.
You know, I was pretty dead on with this one.
You think so?
I do.
Yeah, I do.
I think the decision, no matter how long, I think the reason they're taking an extra day is to create the atmosphere of impartiality, when in fact this is a purely partisan decision that will come down on the side of George W. Bush. It will come down tomorrow, and Al Gore will concede tomorrow.
There it is. Gold. Right on the money.
Thank you very much, son.
All right.
You can call anytime, even though I said you have to call back when you're 18. Call anytime.
I just point out, though, I did win the bet.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did win the bet.
Oh, and you know what? I've lost another bet.
You lost the Regis bet.
I've lost the Regis bet, so we have to book a lunch for Dennis and myself at the Palm Restaurant.
Are you feeling strong enough?
Of course I am.
All right, just wanted to check.
Always strong enough for Murphy.
You know, I was thinking, it's funny he called with that, because I was actually, when that all happened, I was thinking about that I had said that. And I think it was the day after. That Gore conceded, wasn't it? I mean, wasn't it? Or was
yes.
it?
No, it was day after.
It was he waited
after.
One day. They made the decision, and they noodled it through.
Our last day of vacation was Tuesday.
Right.
And I know because when I went in to have my first operation on Wednesday, when the doctor woke me up.
Wednesday, the decision came down. They figured it. They noodled it through and figured it out. But it was like Wednesday night that it came down, right?
Yeah, but they announced on Wednesday that Gore was going to go on TV that night and was going to quit.
Right.
And when my doctor woke me up from my surgery, that's the first thing he said is, hey, Gore's finally quitting.
Absolutely. Uh-huh.
So, yeah, you got that one.
Hey, and that stock market bounced back with the Bush victory, too.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. All right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hello, Don.
Yes.
Hey, I was hoping they'd put me on hold till Mike told his story about the auto train.
All right.
I worked for the auto train, and I'm hoping he had a good trip.
I did have a good trip. I had several parts of it. The worst part of my raft for my vacation will be reserved for the great Disney company. The company that...
No.
Yes.
When I talked to you on the telephone, you did refer to it as the S train.
The poop train. There was a period of time. Now, I could start this now, but I mean, the auto train, there was a moment on the auto train. There were two moments on the auto train, three total. One involves me. So the real ones that I'm going to count are two. One was my own doing, and I want to apologize to my entire family. Those sleeper cars, sir, are pretty close quarters when you do have gas, and that was my own fault. But there was at one point that on the train, and it was early in the going down there was a bit of an odor. And occasionally, do you ever have problems with the poopers on those trains?
Yeah, they're retention toilets, and if someone throws something down there and blocks it up.
Well, I don't know. Ours was working. I heard that if one goes out, they all go out, and that scared me.
I can't imagine more of a CF than getting on a train with your family.
It's the greatest.
To go for 8 hours, just so when you get off.
It's not 8 hours, it's 14 hours. It's 14 hours. You get on this train, and I will do it again, and I will do it regularly. I will travel on this train regularly, because I swear to God, you know how I don't like to fly. I don't like, but it's not just fear of flying. This is everything around airports and rent-a-cars and doing all that. You get on this train, and then when the train pulls out, you sit there, you have dinner, and then you go to sleep, and you wake up in the morning, and in the morning, you're at your destination. So you really, it's 14 hours, but the bulk of that time is dreamland time, where you're sleeping.
You could get on an airplane and be there in an hour and 40 minutes.
In the modern world, you could, but I'll tell you, it's the civilized way to travel, unless someone, on the way down, there was an entire car full of poop smell.
Yeah,
and I called it the Fardo train.
You called it worse than that. You called it the SHI train. When you spoke to me.
Well, I can't say that on the radio, Mr. Geronimo. But when I got on this thing, let me tell you something. I get there, and I'm in back of the auto train. Shockingly, this might amaze you, but the majority of the occupants are senior citizens. I know that might come as a tremendous surprise to you, but
oh really?
There was gas passed when we were waiting in line to check in, and then after we got rolling right before.
Don, baby, how's it going?
I think he was on it. And then at one point as we pulled out of the station, there I was just walking up and down. I'm like, my God, it was either two things. It was either a bad toilet or somebody just had left the door open who had just taken care of. But the entire sleeper car, and thank God this wasn't permanent, but from one end of this sleeper car, because I had to walk through the entire sleeper car to get to the dining room, the entire sleeper car smelled like turd.
Mm.
And then when we came back from dinner...
Michael Barra for Amtrak.
I love Amtrak. I do. I love Amtrak. I love taking the train. I do.
Smelled like turd.
But I do. I would do. If you asked me, would I do it again? I swear to God, I might be doing it again in March. I swear to God.
No.
I liked it that much. I enjoyed the actual pace of it, and it was better with the kids crawling around. But the last night that we were on this auto train, I apparently, it had been too much Disney food for me and too much good eating.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to apologize because we took a babysitter down there with us, Leah, lady that babysits for our kids.
Leah Remini.
And Leah Remini was with us on the train. So it was the kids in one bunk, and there's a door that separates us. And you leave the door open a crack. And the kids were in one bunk. Leah was across the hallway in the top bunk. My wife was on the top bunk, and I was on the bottom bunk on the other side. And I just want to apologize because it was nonstop. I think I farted probably 35 to 40 times, and they were all quiet. and they were all horrible. And there was nothing I could do. I wasn't going to, I'm not going to go out in the hallway like some of those other old men do and pass gas.
Certainly not. You're young and vibrant.
But it was terrific. I mean, it was really, overall, it was, I would, I'm telling you the truth. I would do it again, even though I called it the S.
All I know is that when you called me, you were very mad, and you said, maybe it's because you had the bad Disney experience, which we'll get to in a second.
I was in the full Disney mode. Disney just raked me through the coals. I mean, they worked me up one side, back down the other, and there was a convention.
All I know is I get a call from him, you know, about the weather, about Disney, about...
Weather's part of it, too.
I'm on the S train.
Right, we came down on the Fardo train, on the S train, all the way down.
Hold on. Hello, Don and Mike.
Eddie.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Don.
What?
I gotta ask you, after your recovery, when you came home, how long was it before you had a really, really good DM?
Oh, over a week.
Ooh. Did they have to give you that stuff where they softened it up?
No.
No, you didn't have a stool softener?
No, I didn't. I didn't. Oh, yes, I did. Yes, it was Rob.
Right.
It was Rob.
Rob.
Rob came over and manipulated me.
Did you feel like you were giving birth, that first one? Yeah.
This guy sounds way too fascinated with this.
Yes. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Really fine.
Hello.
Don, Mike, what's up?
Hey.
Welcome back. Rob, congratulations.
Thank you.
And had a Dennis Murphy sighting this weekend at the Baltimore Ravens football game.
Oh, really? It was the big playoff game?
Yes. How he made it in, I don't know. I didn't get to talk to him at
all. Was he selling his T-shirts?
Didn't see him selling anything. He was in line for the urinal.
Was he wearing a Ravens jersey?
No. He was just wearing an overcoat, but he was taking a little bit too long. People behind him were getting impatient. They were ready to kick him out of the way.
Wow, that's our Dennis.
And his appearance, that's not running down his nose. After he got out of line.
Not running down his nose.
So
we all sit there and got this guy Murphy's up at the urinal. We say, throw him out of the way. Come on now. Come on, Dennis. Finish your peeing.
Hey, hon, the Ravens are about to win their first playoff game. Oh, look. There's Johnny Unitas on the big screen. Hi there, Johnny, with your bad teeth.
Nothing like Ravens football. Go, Ravens. Hey. Go.
You know, I'll give it to the Ravens.
Yeah.
Give it to them. They love nothing more. The city of Baltimore loves nothing better than butt-effing the people of Washington, D.C.
Absolutely.
Way to go, Mr. Modell. That's a lot better than that little guy.
They are giving us the anal probe right now.
They are. The stories are just starting to come out now, and they're fun to read. They're fun to read about Baltimore. Who would have thought it'd be Baltimore with a chance of going to the Super Bowl and the Skins sitting on the sideline?
You know what pisses me off? You read the Post today? They got all this coverage now with the Ravens.
Yes.
Like the Washington Post is going to be following the Ravens down to Nashville to play the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. And it's a back page stuff. Normally not the case for the Redskins this time of year.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Hello, Horn.
Ravens. Still got those helmets, though. Jesus.
And those retarded uniforms that have, like, the Maryland State flag on the side of them.
Come on now. You know, maybe just some NASCAR sponsors on them.
But they're kicking ass, and the Redskins suck. Oh, the fantasy football. I got to tell you about the fantasy football.
You went to the Super Bowl in our fantasy football league.
Yes, I go all the way to the Super Bowl. And who do I get to play against? Mr. I don't care, Charlie Broyhill. You know, and Broyhill, hey, I don't care whatever happens. I don't care. He beat me by 100 points in our Super Bowl.
Oh, my God. How much money does he win in our league?
Like $1,000.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. After all year, you know, the son of a bitch, he picks up Pittsburgh's defense on the last game of the year.
No keepers next year, right?
We're going to vote on it. We're voting on it.
Why are we voting on it?
Because some of us want it.
You may have been a juggernaut.
Yes.
I'm a dynasty.
But you don't care, right?
No. No, I do care about winning the championship. I don't care about the regular season.
Oh. Kurt Warner coming on strong at the end of the season.
Oh, Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner's a homo.
Would you keep Kurt Warner next year?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
I thought I just wanted to get that in there right after the homo comment.
Yes, he effed up that in. Broyhill picks up Pittsburgh's defense for the last game of the year.
That's two games.
The last two games of the year. And all I know is that I'm watching these games and I'm trying to figure out, all of a sudden I hear,
Pittsburgh, a 98-yard touchdown return on a kickoff. Pittsburgh returns an interception, 68 yards. Meanwhile, Kurt Warner's playing like a retarded guy out there.
Right. And then gets a concussion.
There you go. Yeah, got knocked out of his game. So he got killed.
So we're voting, for those of us that didn't play in the Super Bowl, we're voting on the Keeper League.
This was the second year you and I played in the Super Bowl.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, all the more reason that the Keeper League thing should be abandoned. I think to give the rest of us. It's called parity, gentlemen. We should have a little parity in the league.
I would put it up to a vote.
Sure, we'll play in the Super Bowl next year.
Yeah, I'm for that. Really, ask Jeff what we're going to do about
that. Yeah, well.
Oh, you remember when I, before the vacation, I said I'd be real prepared for fantasy next year?
Nah, no.
Changed my mind on the vacation.
Same old guy.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, let's try to give away $500, and then we'll hear about Mike on the S-Train, and Mike down at S-World.
Now, there you go. Esney World.
Phone number 877-365-3636. I don't know if you heard our brand new contest. It's a secret song. It's worth $500.
I like Amtrak. I don't like business.
You call now. Be the 100th caller. Good luck.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Folks, can you hear me, folks? Listen to me, Anthony. I got your head in a f***ing vice. I'll squash your f***ing head like a grapefruit if you don't give me a name. Don't make me have to do this, please. Come on. Don't make me be a bad guy. Come on. F*** you. Motherf***er. You believe this? 2 days and nights. Me. Me, you motherf***er. My mother. But you f***ing me. Motherf***er you, huh?
Charlie M.
You make me pop your eye out of your head to protect that piece of Charlie M. You dumb motherfucker.
You
motherfucker. You Frankie. Do him a favor.
Smell of their own fart. Don and Mike.
Ah, Casino, one of the great comedies of our time.
Charlie M.
Listen, we got some news about us traveling here.
All right.
Next week, we're going back to Gotham.
All right.
Yeah, Gotham. Now that everybody's out of the hospital and football's done, we will be in New York up at WNAW next Thursday and Friday.
Very good.
Doing special New York shows. And I believe that this will be the time that I'm going to probably stay up late on Thursday night and go in and be with Ron and Fez.
Oh, cool.
Ron.
Hey.
And see what that thing is all about.
Well, what we'll do is we'll prep you for that.
With this makeup. Yes, I know what you mean by prep.
Very good.
Also, we have our Super Bowl show coming live the last Friday of the month. Super Bowl Friday will be live from Miami with all of the usual participants.
Tampa, right?
Yes, Tampa. I say Miami, yeah, you're right.
Yep.
Live from Tampa Bay. Also very soon giving away a vacation to Jamaica, maybe two vacations.
I know. Fantastic.
At least one we're giving away. And we're working on the itinerary now for the 2001 Las Vegas style show schedule.
Good.
2001 will be the year of the Las Vegas style show. Of course, we're going to be doing shows in D.C. and Baltimore. We also have already got dates for Reno, Nevada.
Yeah.
Ocean City, Maryland.
All right.
Sacramento, California, and Portland, Oregon.
Very good.
And yes, New York City.
New York City!
So we are going to be all over the place. And it all starts next week. We do our live thing from New York.
Good.
And then down to Tampa Bay for the Super Bowl. And then off to, Jesus, I don't know. I think it's Reno first that we got to go for a Las Vegas-style show.
Right. They deserve it, especially after all the help they gave our friend.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am caller 100.
Yes, you are. And what's your name, my friend?
Justin from Reno.
Justin? Oh, you were just speaking of Reno.
Yeah, very nice.
Beautiful Reno, KPLY. That's our affiliate. Hey, are they running commercials that were coming out there?
They were just running commercials, yeah.
Are they running commercials saying that we're coming to Reno?
Yes.
Did they tell you when?
No, they were telling us that it was still a secret and they didn't know when, but they have commercials. Yeah. I don't know when the day is.
Yeah, you want to know how much of a secret it is, because we don't know either.
Well, we'll figure it out, and I think the good news is we're planning on coming out there.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
I think that's the order. I think it's Reno, then Ocean City, and Sacramento. I know when we're going to Sacramento, that this time we're doing the Las Vegas-style show from Arco Arena.
Okay.
Where the Kings play, a place that holds 18,000 people.
Very good.
And I think they also have a giant arena for us in Portland, Oregon.
Excellent. Cool.
And New York,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. Somewhere on the island, I think they're going to book us in New York.
Long Island, baby.
All right, here you go. You've won 25 Durex condoms. Oh, that reminds me. I was so mad last week. I've let it go now.
Right.
Of course, everybody listening to us in New York, you're loving the fact that you got a foot of goddamn snow. But I just,
oh, yeah. You know what? We need to vent about this.
Yeah, I'm going to write.
Really, you know what? You know what? Seriously, I was thinking what we should do. We should really, this winter, because it's official now. I mean, winter has begun. We should keep detailed records of all of the Washington, D.C. forecasters.
Because
they all punted this.
Listen to what they did.
Started a week in advance.
Yes, a week in advance saying we're going to get a major snowstorm. Mm-hmm. We go to bed the night before the snow is supposed to hit, Friday night into Saturday morning.
Right. Yeah, they're beginning the slight hedge dance, but they're still calling for 3 to 6 inches, most of them.
Mm-hmm. And they said if the snow moves just 10 miles inland,
we could get a foot or more.
A foot of snow.
Right.
Okay? Wake up on Saturday morning. Not only is there no snow,
mm-hmm.
it's friggin' sunny outside.
It's sunny, okay? Lake.
It and
is sunny.
I turn on the TV, and I see the weathermen.
No remorse.
And Mike, bingo!
None!
I don't see any of them saying,
right.
I'm sorry, I effed it up. They have the gall,
mm-hmm.
the unmitigated gall,
to just ignore it.
To laugh about it.
Right, exactly.
I saw the guy on Channel 7 say, I know that some kids are going to be very unhappy with me today, but we dodged a giant bullet. Let me show you some video of New York. Look at this. New York digging out of 12 inches of beautiful snow.
And this is so they can do all the lazy, same old crap that they do with every snowstorm. Put the damn truck down next to the food store to interview all the idiots that are going, hey, I want to be prepared.
And don't forget about the big, they got to have the reporter out at the truck place where they got the big salts, piles of salt.
Exactly.
Okay. And someone has to get me tape of this because on Channel 4, the NBC station, they got this guy Bob Ryan. I would like to take the golden shovel and beat Bob Ryan over the head with it. I mean, I really would. I'd like to over and over and over, and it wouldn't be a golden shovel,
right?
Because it naturally was gold. It would be a golden shovel because I would take a leak on it, and then I would beat his ass with the shovel. He's got this contest that if you correctly predict the first inch of snow we get in D.C., he'll come to your house with a golden snow shovel, and he'll dig you out.
Yeah, and they're still running the promos, you know, for all their weather teams and all these guys.
He's the biggest one. He's the biggest fear-monger going.
Absolutely.
I hear this. And somebody here, please, I hope to God you have tape of this. On Saturday morning, I'm watching Channel 4, and they say, well, as Bob Ryan predicted last night on the 11 o'clock forecast, the snow missed us. And I'm thinking,
I watched Bob Ryan at 6 o'clock.
I watched Bob Ryan at 6, and he didn't mention anything about that.
No.
And if Bob Ryan had gotten on at 11 o'clock on Friday night before a major snowstorm and said it's not going to arrive.
Bob Ryan has a technique done when he's giving the forecast that he will basically, within his forecast, incorporate anywhere from sunny and 80 degrees to a foot of snow.
Oh, yeah.
He'll do it in his Bob Ryan speak. If you ever notice when he gives a forecast, he does not speak in what we would consider to be normal sentences. What he does is he speaks in these jumbled sentence fragments and he has manufactured this language, created an art form so he can tell you what's going on without telling you anything.
And the effer's got almanacs at giant food store.
Yeah, he's a star.
The guy doesn't know weather from a hole in his ass.
They pose like one of those NBC shows, you know, with all their arms folded like they're big tough guys.
So what I want is I want a tape of Bob Ryan last Friday night saying, we're not going to get the snow.
And you'll wake up, what it should be, is you'll see sunshine tomorrow morning. Because I woke up, you woke up, we all woke up around the Washington, D.C. area to sunshine.
We were pissed.
And this after a week of hype, would not believe that we were going to get a blizzard.
Same in Baltimore. And furthermore, here's what else I want to see.
Baltimore has a right to be even more angry.
Because they've got, especially like Channel 4, where they've got 5 weather guys.
Right.
There's a chick and there's 4 girls. Here's what I want to see. On the day when they're building up to the snowstorm that never happens. They start with, like, Victoria Jackson or whatever this girl's name is. She sets it up and she says, but let's go for the specifics to Storm Center 4 with Bob Ryan. And he's sitting there with his big goddamn telestrator. The next day, when it's time to eat the S sandwich,
right.
They put on Burger Jeff. Okay? Here's what I'm
Tom
saying.
Tom Curine.
Now, if we had, in fact, gotten a foot of snow,
yeah, Bob would be there.
Bob Ryan would be there. What I'm saying to these weathermen is, if you're going to put your nuts on the line, when you F up the forecast, come in the next day, stand up like a man, or in the case of Top or Shut, stand up on a couple of phone books, stand up and say, guess what?
Right.
I effed it up. Don't send in your underlings.
Sure, and don't gloss over it with a quick chuckle and then show us videotape of
New York
City where we don't live.
Yeah, of New York City getting right. A foot of snow.
Uh-huh.
Please, I was so mad on Saturday.
I was just as mad.
I was extremely angry because they were calling for 6 inches of snow, said it would be the worst snowstorm on the East Coast in 5 years.
Right.
So not out of a bread and toilet paper panic, but because I had a big grocery store run to make anyway.
Right.
I went on Friday. I stood in line from the time I put my cart in line to the time I put stuff on the conveyor belt, 42 minutes. And yeah. A lot of other people did the same thing, and then woke up the next morning to see not a flake of snow.
And here's the deal. I think they should go one step further. These guys should come out earlier and you know, go on the line. Mm-hmm. They should come out. I don't think they should. It's easy to come out at 11 o'clock when this storm is, you know, in our backyard.
You know, I don't even know if Bob Ryan did that.
I don't think he did.
I heard someone on Channel 4 say that.
Bob Ryan probably did what he always does, was, hey, it could, which is what they do.
Right.
But none of them really take accountability.
They're all
BS. It mm-hmm. really is. They're a pile of crap.
They're all dickless wonders. They really are. They're all friggin' eunuchs.
Yeah, and then nobody really, you know, makes the guy that I would, you would just trumpet him from the highest mountain would have been the guy that would have said, and I only accept one thing, Sonny, you're going to wake up tomorrow morning, all these idiots are talking about a blizzard, I'll tell you what I'm going to say, it's going to be sunny when you wake up tomorrow, and it's not even going to snow in Baltimore.
At one time, I want one of the top weather guys, and they've all got the tops. You got Doug Hill on 7.
I made a big deal about Doug Hill moving over to the ABC affiliate.
You got
Hopper
Shot on 9. You got Bob Ryan on 4. You got Sue Palka on 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? One day, I want to see them come in the next day and stand there and say, guess what?
I effed up.
I was wrong.
Right.
I was wrong.
Okay.
I don't want to see a commercial to go to Giant and spend $1.49 for Bob Ryan's almanac.
I don't want to hear that, like, a difference of 45 miles is going to, you know, which is what they were all saying. You know, if it had been 45 miles closer, you know, oh, BS.
Well, then, if it had been 45 miles closer, what you're saying is really, you're not weather forecasters. So don't paint yourself as weather forecasters. Why not put on gypsy costumes and
right.
come out and look at in a crystal ball and say, hey, you know what? I don't know, but I'm going to guess right now. I think it might snow tomorrow.
And I'm just putting in a request. It will not be heard by these TV news directors, but keep the people away from the supermarkets. Don't report that. It is not,
you know what else?
News.
Hold on. I don't need them to be at Lowe's or Home Depot either.
Right. No, I don't want them anywhere. I don't want them down by the salt truck. It's not news. You're not reporting. You're not telling us anything we don't already know that we haven't seen hundreds of thousands of times. It's like putting somebody at the airport on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
And furthermore, to just end this diatribe, but this much called for diatribe,
mm-hmm. Amen.
I want to say that after we didn't get the snow, I'm watching on the DirecTV, I'm watching the New York station, WNBC. And I see that they got a foot of goddamn snow in New York. You know what Giuliani did? 10 hours later, people are driving around. There's no problems.
Party up for New Year's Eve.
They got the Dick Clark got the ball coming down.
Right.
I mean, if, God forbid, we had gotten a foot of snow in D.C., Mike and I would have had to be helicoptered into the station today, 3 days later, to do the show.
That's right.
Not only did we not get the snow, and do they not apologize, but in New York, they get the snow, and boom, 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 they clean it up.
They did a great job in New York.
They did.
And you gotta like Giuliani. You gotta like it. You know, he has the big super deluxe press conference. You know, he makes it an event. He makes doing his job an event, but as long as he's doing his job, you can make it all the events. event you want.
And when it was over, he took the city workers' cookies for doing such a good job.
Yeah, there you go.
Except I saw him on TV today. He's pissed at the Port Authority.
Why not?
He said the Port Authority didn't do as good as they did in Manhattan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's mad about that.
Oh, that's good. All right. Well, he has a right.
You should be. You know what you should be mad about? I know you're not mayor of Washington, D.C., Mayor Giuliani.
You've been in New York enough times to know that you drive by that Port Authority, sunny and 75 degrees, you're still not going to move.
But listen, Mayor Giuliani, you should be upset about the weather forecasters here in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a little out of your jurisdiction.
Right.
But I'm telling you, they're eunuchs.
We're going to go down to Nanny Numbnuts, who's down outside the Giant Food. Well, people are stocking up, but they inform me here of the store that they still got plenty of supplies on the shelves, which is really, what is this reporter doing for me? What he's doing is he's making sure that some other mook is going to drive down there and clean out the store so that when I want to pick up something after the hype's over, that everything's gone.
That's right. And just once, I want one of these genitalless wonders to come on television with their smooth crotches, and I want them to pull down their pants and show that they're eunuchs, and I want them to say, "Hi, my name is Doug Hill. I get paid $1 million a year to forecast the weather. Guess what? I effed up." You can keep your $1 million a year, Doug.
Amen.
You can keep your new weather center, but just be a man about it.
You know, now, right now,
Jesus Christ, don't send Jeff Gilbert in.
They got the technology to go down right to the street. But you know what that technology is? And they hype it when they're talking about Doppler, Sloppler, whatever the hell it is. What that does is that can tell you where it's snowing or raining now.
Yes.
It doesn't tell you what's going to happen. Sure. Get some nice, expensive space age crap that'll tell me what the thing's going to do in 2 days.
You know what that's like? That's like me and Mike coming on and hyping for a week and saying, this Friday, we are going to have the funniest, the craziest, the sexiest show you have ever heard. Then we come on and we do a crappy show. And you know what we do the next day? We take the day off and we have Rob come in and just go, "Hi, it's Rob. Donna and I can't be here today. But that sure was a great show Friday."
Oh, God, it's maddening. And you know what? They are on the line for the next one. Yeah. They better watch what they're doing because I'll tell you, if they think we railed against them today, we're going to have their nuts are going to be on a platter the next time.
Yeah. Have some balls. Have some friggin' balls.
And Topper, don't call us again. Or go ahead and call us, but I'll tell you, it's not going to be friendly this time.
No, he won't have the guts.
Topper's
the
one. Topper's the only meteorologist in town. We do have to give him this credit. He's the only one that takes our words to heart and gets severely wounded when we talk like this.
Are you listening to me, you little munchkin? Are you listening right now, you leprechaun?
Topper, shut.
Let me tell you something, Topper.
Some kind of skin disease.
Topper, let me tell you, you lucked into that gig because Channel 9 is the worst TV operation in town. They're worse than 7. It's just that they're too cheap to replace Dunghill that you got the job. You used to be the morning weatherman, which is the cemetery of television. Ask Mike Buchanan how he likes getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go on Channel 9 to be on at 5 in the morning. Please, that used to be your job, Topper. You know why you got the job at 11? Because you're cheap and you were already there. You're going to blow it. You're going to blow it. So call us now, Topper.
Topper's going to be so hurt.
Call us now. You little Billy Barty.
And you know what? I think they ought to have...
God rest his soul.
Yeah. They ought to have a moratorium on the promos. But they're still running the hell out of them.
Okay.
And so they've done something correct. You know, say, we were there. We were on the front lines. Our Storm Center 4, or whatever the hell it's called, we are on the front lines and we'll be there for you. First with what? First with a pile of useless BS.
Right. So, Topper, put your elevator shoes on.
How about some babes?
Climb up on top of J.C. Hayward's wig. Be a man tonight. Stand up on the Channel 9 Nit Witness News set.
Thanks, Topper. I'm J.C. Hayward.
I guarantee people respect you more. You stand up tonight and go, "I'm Topper Shut." Make it like an AA meeting.
Uh-huh. Right.
Hi, everybody. I'm up. I'm Topper Shut. I don't know dick about the weather.
Hi, Topper. You know what? Don't you think, really, what would be solved would be, you know, Doug Hill, God love him. Bob Ryan, fine. Get us some, bring in some babes.
Yeah.
Oh, bring in some women like some women. Why can't there be any innovation in television?
You have Sue Palka, and I'm tired of hearing how hot Sue Palka is. Listen,
please.
Sue Palka is one chromosome away from being a man. There's nothing hot. There's nothing hot about Sue Palka. Jesus.
She's a linebacker, for God's sake.
I was going to say, you know what? You put her in a uniform. You put her next to Ray Lewis of the Ravens. I defy you to tell me which one is Sue Palka, which one is Ray Lewis.
Oh, I think I could.
I don't think you could, Buzz. You give her that bandana.
Yeah.
You put some of the eye black under her eyes.
Well, now you're cheating.
What is the one local station of all of them? And I'm talking about the big ones, okay? Fox, NBC, CBS, ABC. Which is the one that's really bringing up the rate? Is it 9 now?
9 is the worst.
Well, see, the problem is 9 would never do anything innovative. But I was thinking that the one that's bringing up the rear ought to get really just go totally screwy.
Yeah. 9
just, completely nuts.
9 just brought that Indian girl with a Peter Pan haircut.
And she sucks.
Gardein Virginja.
Whatever it is.
What's her name? Her Dinza.
What's her name?
Revere Dinza.
God bless
Please,
you.
Please, honey, listen, first thing, grow your hair out, okay?
There we go. There's a chance. Partly cloudy with a chance of three.
You know, first off, women in this country, we like them to be women. You know, look a little feminine. Okay, grow your hair out, please. Her haircut looks like Charlie Broyhill's hair.
It does. It really does.
Hi, Charlie.
This is a little nicer. Actually.
You're forgetting about your true hottie.
Who?
The other sister.
Who?
Barbara Harrison.
Oh,
well, now, she doesn't count because she's an anchor.
Yeah, she has to work with that
Joe Krebs.
Fossil Joe Krebs every day.
That one on 9 is an anchor, too. She doesn't do weather.
No, she has
oh, no, you're right, you're right. Her.
But she has that TV technique, you know, where they look at the person that's reading the news, then they look back at the camera, and it's just, oh, shut up.
Yeah, Barbara Harrison's nothing to look at.
Well, what if we really just got...
the other sister went, that's because she's like half white and half black? Is that what she
No,
sister?
No, from the movie.
No, the movie. The
oh,
sister,
I thought you were playing the race card. You're playing the retard card.
No.
Can I mean the other sister? You know what I mean.
Yes.
Because she's like a mulatto, right?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Isn't that right?
I don't know. I have no idea, but he was doing
I think
it.
Barbara Harrison is half black and half white.
I have no, I am not sure, nor do I care.
I have no idea. I know that Joe Cribbs was originally a Siamese twin. That's the only thing I know about Channel 4.
Well, you just get there. Freaking act together.
Well, I think really, why can't we just do something totally innovative and bring in some real, like, turbo hotties?
Yeah. I mean, really, bring some of the Redskinettes in and have them do the weather.
They're going to be wrong anyway.
Way to do weather on there, you know, pull someone like that in.
That's right. It's like, listen, I'm not really sure what the forecast is, and I don't know whether we're going to get a foot of snow or it's going to be sunny tomorrow, but take a look at Z.
There you go.
Yeah, listen.
And then you can still pixelate them. You can still obscure them.
Oh, make it actually topless.
Yes.
That'd be great.
Hey, and on that Fox show on Sunday, listen, I know they only had one game, but it was going to be called in Philly. Where was the weather ho?
Barbary.
Barbary. She wasn't there. They had the funny guy on, but they didn't have her on.
Huh.
You gotta. I like my TNA during my Fox NFL summer.
Right, absolutely. I just think more of that, you know, and really the station that's bringing up there, but they won't. Not with old Gordon Peterson over there.
Channel 9.
Yeah, put some on.
Gordon Peterson making in his pants every night, sometime during the 11 o'clock.
Yeah, but you'll get pancakes.
Yeah, but with Frank Herzog.
Right.
Right. And poor Jess Atkinson. Jesus
Christ. Jess Atkinson. I mean, really, I mean, I like Jess. He's a friend of mine,
so
but I'm just waiting for his testicles to drop.
You know, Jesus, they gave him 30 seconds for the sports.
I know.
On Channel 9. 30 freaking seconds. I got Frank Herzog, the play-by-play voice of the Redskins. On Friday morning, he puts on a goddamn chef hat. He comes out of this griddle and makes pancakes. How can you look yourself in the mirror in the morning, Frank?
I love Jess. I just wish they'd run him through one of those processors. So it'd be like, you know, so it would be Jess talking like Jess normally talks, but then what would be coming out would be, here's what the Caps do. I really think, thanks a lot. Thanks, Gordon.
And listen, it's not like the competition down here for sports is unbeatable either. I mean, no. You got George Gimple and his Sun in Cream on Channel 4. You know, and you've got the...
You think it's Sun in Cream, or do you think he actually goes to the bed? You think he goes to the tanning bed?
No, it's cream. And you got Rennie Knott on Channel 7, who
right.
I like.
Yeah, Rennie's good.
In fact, I partied with him. You remember when I did that Redskins game? I did play-by-play at a Redskins game down in Tampa Bay at the hotel bar. At 2 o'clock in the morning, Rennie Knott was running around with a $100 bill taped to his forehead.
There you go, Rennie. Good man, Rennie Knott.
Drunk out of his mind.
Fun guy.
Hey, how you doing?
Big into hugs. Are you still there?
I am still here.
Yeah, that's tremendous perseverance. Yeah, that was quite a rave we did. I think this man's been here from the beginning of the rave.
You're calling for the contest, right?
I am calling for the contest.
Oh, well, hold on a second. Okay?
Forgot about me.
Jesus, I'm sorry. Hold on. Well, you don't know how frustrating it is to live in D.C. where for a week they stroke you and stroke you and stroke you.
They create a frenzy. They create an unbelievable frenzy.
And no one else calls them on it. We're the only ones that call them on it.
And I just want to get this off my chest once and for all. This entire grocery store issue, okay? If we get a foot of snow, it's like you're going to starve to death
if you don't
make it to the grocery store. Your desire for cow's milk is so strong that you won't be able to last maybe the 12 or 13 hours it would take for you to get out of your home, you stupid butts.
If you want to know a true explanation of how stupid these people are, my mom is a teller at a Safeway. And one time a family came in, same family always came in as soon as weather was called to stock up on everything.
It's ludicrous. It's a completely fabricated.
It's not their fault. It's the media. And I'll tell you something.
It is the media's fault. They've created this.
We started this in this town 15 years ago. Nobody gives us credit. BMTP.
Right.
Bread, milk, toilet paper.
Yeah, like people have to run around stuffing loaves of bread into their mouth while they're drinking like a big goblet of milk and effing in their pants.
They take a big dump.
Yeah, the French toast.
You know, sitting there just going, I need more bread, but I have to wash it down with milk as the poop runs down my leg.
Can you hold on, please?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Right, because you got to play the game for $500.
Oh, man, it feels good to be back.
Hold on. We'll be right back. Sorry about that.
He's the Don and Mike Show.
And another thing. You better sit on that zoo fraternity of yours. I don't want no drunken riots in my town.
They go together like rubber balls and liquor. Don and Mike.
Now listen, I know we got the guy on the line for the contest, but I just want to break in for a second because joining us now from Channel 9,
I can't believe this guy called us.
We were just busting his balls. Here is weathercaster Copper Shut.
No, it's not Copper Shut. Hey, Don.
Who is this?
Who do you think it is? Happy New Year, buddy.
It's Topper.
Oh, it's Tom Gavin?
I'm Gavin.
Oh, it's not Topper Shut.
No. Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi. Hold on, Tom.
Hold on a second. He normally plays around, but he's begun 2001 by not playing along.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yep.
Now, that was supposed to really be a weather guy.
Buzz, is your microphone off?
It is. It's not. It's on now.
Oh, okay.
Where's the guy who's playing the contest? Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, hi. Reno, right?
Correct.
Hey, what's your name?
Justin.
All right, Justin, here you go. You've won 25 Durex condoms.
Right.
Feel love the way it's supposed to feel. Set yourself free with the most exciting condoms ever made, Durex condoms. Now you'll play for $500 with the secret song, a toe-tapping top 10 hit that we have digitally altered. Identify the song. We'll give you 15 seconds to think about it. You win $500. Please don't answer until Mike sings like
Robert Goulet.
And we wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this secret song.
Yep. There it is. Seems so easy. As Alex Trebek says, it seems so easy when you have the answer.
Are in my favor.
Hold on, your timing got a little screwed up because you were writing something down. You think you got it?
I spelled it wrong, too, but...
Huh?
Rewriting it now.
Mike's writing down his answer. Hold on.
Let me write it down. Hold on. Before he does, I'm sorry, but I really think I have it.
You think so?
Wow. I'm still stumped.
So is Dennis.
All right, let me see.
Oh, Simply Irresistible. No.
Oh, okay.
It is not. But you, my friend, you can win $500 if you can identify that secret song now.
Is that everybody's favorite? Who Let the Dogs Out?
No.
Oh, we're sorry.
No, it's not. Although, it's one that we had.
Right.
We were going to go with it. We thought it was too identifiable.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
And don't forget that every guess is
a clue for you.
And all you audiophiles at home, Good luck taping it. Okay?
We've digitally altered it.
Ah. Okay, because we already had the thought that if we just did a song backwards,
that people would spin it around.
Right, someone would tape it and then just...
I really thought I had it, man.
What was going on? Nope. Hello, Don and Mike.
Oh, Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Mike. Hey, Don. Hey, guys.
Hi, Tommy.
Guess who I saw at Safeway at Chesterbrook?
Who?
Bob A.
You did? Did you speak, did you speak to him?
Yes, I did. He spoke to me.
He speak to you?
Yeah, I told him, congratulations on his new baby. He said, all right.
Good. How do you spell baby?
B-A-B-B-Y.
Very close.
Hey, Tom.
So did you get a chance to see the baby?
No.
Yeah, Tom, I was wondering, do you babysit?
A little.
Because I was wondering, you know, sometimes Carrie and I want to go out. If you could keep the baby, that'd be great.
Rob was telling me he wanted somebody extra responsible, you know, while the child is an infant.
Yeah, I do sometime.
And both of you could play with Alphabet. How do you?
Yeah, I'm playing Alphabet with her.
How do you spell babysit?
B A B B Y S A T.
Correct. Babysat.
Correct. You're so right, Tom.
That could be a new game show.
All right, well, Tom, thanks for the check-in.
What?
What?
T-shirts are coming out soon.
Your T-shirts from your website?
Yeah, the T-shirts are coming out. And I got a question.
Yes,
coming out.
Can I put WJFK on the T-shirt? Don?
Probably rather you don't. I don't mind if you put Don and Mike show.
Okay.
But I think if you put WJFK, then most likely they'll come after you and try to get some money from you.
Yeah, put Don and Mike show on, is that all right?
Yeah, Mike and I got no problem with that.
Okay. Yeah, Don and Mike show. And put any other logo you want to put on there. Nabisco, you know, anything.
All right, Tom.
Hey, come on, guys. How was your New Year, Don?
It was great. Tom, how do you spell logo?
L-O-G-O.
Very cool.
Hey, fantastic.
How about Lego?
L-O-G-O.
And how about Ego?
A-G-O.
Ago.
You're my guy. You're my man. Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
Everybody's out there listening. Website's up. T-shirts are coming out.
TomGavin.com.
Yep.
And all right.
Stay listening. Go do it right now.
All right. Thank you.
Roar! Roar!
Yeah!
Yeah. Yeah. Tom, the monster.
Bye-bye. Hope his New Year's was good.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
I was calling for Don and Mike.
Yes, we're here. Hello.
Hi, I was calling for the 100.
Oh, we did that. Come on, get out of here. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don.
Yes, and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike. Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
Hey, listen, I got a little riddle for you.
Oh, we love a good riddle.
All right, here we go. She's got a great ass. She married an ass, and I had dinner last. I had dinner last night with her at Makuni's in Sacramento.
She's got a great ass.
She married an ass, and I had dinner last night with her at Makuni's in Sacramento.
This is tough for me to figure out.
Where's our Joker music?
Where's that dun 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 dun?
She has a nice ass. She married an ass, and you had dinner with her.
I don't know. Who is it?
Grant Napier's wife.
Oh, come on. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Anyway, I was thinking about a real celebrity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not a disc jockey.
Oh, shit, but whoever it was married an ass.
Hello?
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome back, guys.
Thanks.
Hey, I heard a crazy rumor over the weekend. I was at a friend's house. Did he, Gordon Liddy, split with his wife? I know he talks highly about her all the time.
Oh, my God, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I know, it sounded crazy. We were telling the guy he was nuts and everything.
No,
he said he was dating, split with his wife, and he was dating a girl who lived in, like, Bel Air, Maryland. And he was, like, 35, and she was from the Stacked and Packed calendar.
I've heard nothing about that. Uh-huh.
Now, I don't know. If it's true, it's news to us.
I know, I was trying to listen to a show today, but...
The only thing I know about Liddy is that they put these giant signs up around the station saying that, you know how he uses Miami Vice as the theme song on his show?
Right.
That apparently whoever owns the rights to that song figured out that he's playing it as his theme song.
Right.
And they want, like, millions of dollars in back royalties.
Right.
So now there's signs up all over the station. Rob, go grab me one of those signs out there.
I didn't know this. This is new from when we went away.
This is brand new today.
Wow.
These signs just went up all over the station today.
Do you know if Liddy bought a new Harley?
Listen, you're asking me personal questions about G. Gordon Liddy
that I
don't know. I see the man every day. I say hello to him. We talk about our love of George Bush, and that's it.
Right.
But here's the sign that says, note, there must be no Miami Vice play during the Liddy show. Please edit any segments accordingly.
Oh, that's too bad, because I liked that when it was his theme song.
Yeah. He's got to come out with a new theme.
Oh, that's a shame.
I don't know. And the other crap, I don't know.
You guys try to find out?
I think he did buy a Harley. I think I heard that on his show.
They said they seen him riding it up the street.
Listen, why don't you be the big man and ask him these tough questions yourself?
I tried to call in. I couldn't get through.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Don.
Bye-bye.
I'm not going to get shot. I'm not going to go ask G. Gordon Liddy if he's split with his wife.
No way.
Jesus.
Come on.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, how's it going?
I'd be afraid to split with Liddy's wife.
I think I saw his wife riding a Harley.
She would kick ass.
She has the guns.
Yes.
That's right.
She's a big, strong woman.
She is. Well, he picked her for that.
So
she could give him big sons.
So she could, listen, that's not a joke.
It's the truth.
He said that seriously.
Yeah. Not only is she a big, strong woman, but she's good at math.
Yes, she is.
It was in Will. That's why she was chosen.
And kind of a shocker that during our genetic engineering segment, old Rob A. jumped to the floor.
That's the only part of Will that I've read, but I've read it over and
I
over
understand.
And over.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike. Thinking.
Yeah.
Welcome to my world.
Oh, it's just
Hey, welcome back, guys.
You're chosen.
Kind of a
thank you.
Hey, I got a question. Have you guys seen Rob A's little baby?
Yeah, I've seen a picture of it up in his office.
Oh, really?
She's a cutie pie.
That's nice. Do you remember the first Batman with Michael Keaton?
Yes.
And at the end, they have that the big balloon party. Does the baby look like the one in the diaper with a huge head?
Yes, dead ringer. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Man.
Oh, yo, what's up, Don and Mike?
Yo, who's this?
Hey, the nigga, baby.
Hey, Ben.
How you doing, Ben? Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, right back at you, man.
Yeah.
Carter, wish you guys, man. Hey, they cut you guys' ass up so bad here in Baltimore, man.
Why?
They had college football on. You ever heard 12 Hours of Shalom, Baltimore?
Now, listen, I'm going to tell you something. That station in Baltimore is a disgrace. The station that we're on in Baltimore, WJFK, it's the armpit of Baltimore radio.
Damn right.
I wish to God that they would break the contract.
I'd love to get on an FM station.
Well, and I know the station. It's 104.3. I don't think it's owned by Infinity, but I don't know why they just don't break the contract and put us on that station.
Amen.
104.3. Every time I turn that station on, they're playing like some broke dick Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young record.
Amen.
You got to know they need ratings on this.
I'd love to go on an FM stick there. It would be fantastic. Yeah.
Just put it. That's the station we want to be on. 104.3.
It's wild how they doing you up here, man. Oh, by the way, way to go, Rob.
Thank you.
Don, there you go.
BN, had a nice word for you, Rob.
All right, thank you, BN. He was slightly, he was LBN today. He was slightly less bitter, I believe.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right.
Well, I'm cool, You know what it takes to get me riled up.
Anything you'd like to say to him? Have you changed your tune on, 40 for the new year?
I ain't changed my tune on nobody,
I got to tell you something funny. That Bart and I over the holidays are playing Madden on PlayStation 2.
Right.
And it kicks Dreamcast ass. It's so much better. I was playing with, the Redskins all-time team, and they don't have the names. They just have the numbers on the back of the jerseys. And at one point, John Madden says, that was Mr. 40 with the ball. Because they say, Mr. 10 makes the pass to number 17. And every once in a while, he'll say, Mr. He said, that's Mr. 40.
Mr. 40 on your new PlayStation.
Mr. 40. Wow. All right, Ben.
All right, boss.
Peace out.
One.
Right. Late. I just did that gang thing.
He saw it, I think.
That I picked up from MTV.
Oh. I do it and it ends up looking like the teacher in Christmas Story beating her chest when she's wearing the old-fashioned uniform.
You look like Amy Grant in her video also where she beats on her heart.
Oh.
Are you like me? Did you watch Christmas Story all 24 hours?
I watched Christmas Story.
On TNT?
No, I watched a little bit of it, but I watched I have the DVD. Somebody gave me the DVD. Did you, Rob?
Yeah.
The DVD of Christmas Story and I watched it.
Shut it, puppy! Fragile.
Scott Farkas. He had yellow eyes.
Oh, fudge.
But I didn't say fudge. I said the F dash 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 word. The grandmother of all.
Because whatever he says. I never get the lyrics right.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Careful, kid. You'll shoot your eye out.
Really, I'm like John Hinckley on Christmas, where that movie's on TNT.
Right.
And especially when I'm in a really good Christmas mood. Like
Do they run it all day on TNT?
Morning, yes. 24 hours.
God bless them.
Nonstop. Every 2 hours you can watch Ralphie finally get that BB gun that he wants.
The Red Ryder.
And I love the way the dad gets everything done in the English. Hey there. There's something over by the desk.
It's so dad-like. It's great. It's fantastic. Great
That's
movie.
That's exactly the movie tried to pull with Bart with the PlayStation.
Right. And you know, as far as the ditzy moms goes, that's the classic ditzy mom. I don't know what the actress's name is, but she is the classic ditzy mom when she's trying to get the younger brother to eat like little piggies. How do little piggies eat? And then she stuffs the kid into the snow suit. Aw, come on, guys. Come on.
Oh, but wait. I'll ask. Santa Claus.
Ho, ho, ho. You put your eye out, kid.
I love that. Love that. We got a break. All right, one more call. And then we find out about Mike's trip on the S-Train.
Good.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don?
Yes.
Hey, it's Mike Bradshaw from Dale City, Virginia. How you guys doing tonight?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
Good, good. Hey, listen to your show for years and love it. And I want to give you guys kudos. Say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And tell you a little story about my new license plate I just got.
All right, can you tell it very quickly? Because we have to play commercials.
Sure. You remember the Seinfeld episode where Kramer got the psychologist tag?
Oh, Ass Man?
Hey, buddy. I had to go with AS5-Man.
AS5.
The 5 kind of looks like an S.
Oh, I...
Right. You won't believe how many horns are honking and waving.
You won't believe how fast I'm going to hang up on your ass.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Whiz gang, looks like the killer gutted the victim, strangled him with his own intestines, and then dumped the body in the river. You're right, Scoob. We're dealing with one sick son of a bitch.
Staunchly opposed to pancake pity, the Don and Mike Show.
We are. Yep. All right, I think we covered everything. Robbie having his baby. Me in the hospital. The New Year's Eve debacle with Frida.
New Year's Rockin' Eve.
Don't even get us going. Rob and I were both just doing a thing on Dick Clark here during the commercials.
Dick Clark, everyone.
Lame he is. So, Mike, we've not heard yet about your trip to Orlando on the S train.
Yeah, now we covered the S train pretty much. I didn't have a lot more on that other than, and I know, because when I talked to you, when I called you right after you had your first procedure done,
yeah.
I called you from Orlando, and I had just, I told you that it was the S train because I was just, I was reacting to my real hatred that was for the Disney Corporation.
And I want to just say again that I had a lot of very nice people call me and write me and come to the hospital. No call brightened my spirits more than the call from Mike.
Right.
Because he was having such a lousy time, and you made me laugh out loud so much that I told you, you really have to stop, that you were hurting.
You were in pain. You had said that to me.
But it was a good pain, because it was the first time I'd really had a real life, like in a week.
Well, I think I had spoken to you towards the end of the week, my week at Disney, and this time around, we've gone to Disney. I have violated it. Wasn't there a time in our lives when we said we would never go to that theme park?
Yeah,
but you know, when you have little kids.
That's before you had little kids.
I have a 5-year-old daughter, a 3-year-old daughter. They love it down there. It's a wonderful destination because they like to see all the characters. But I'll tell you something. We've been there.
All the characters.
We've been there like twice. You know, within almost a year's time, we've been there. We've done it twice now. And that's going to be it for a while because we have just... I am so Disney'd out. We go down to Disney and we decided that we would take the auto train, which, although at that one period of time, it did smell like ass and I had the farts on it, it was a fun way to travel. To go to the state of Florida, to go to Disney, you do your own thing. First of all, I go down to the... we decide we're going to stay on the property this time. We decided, you know, in the past, we've rented a place down there, and it's a lot less expensive, but you're off the property. So we said, well, spend a little more money. That's the funny word, a little more money. We're going to spend a ton more money, as it turns out, to stay on the property because they'll be so helpful, all the Imagineers and all that crap.
The Imagineers.
So, you know, they're gonna help you with the little...
Magic Queers.
The Magic Queers are down there. They're going to help you with the activities desk. And, you know, you and I have a mutual friend who occasionally helps us with tickets to the theme parks.
Jeff Shrinsky is the fella's name.
Unfortunately, Mr. Shrinsky, when I see him and when we go down to the Super Bowl down in Tampa, I'll have to share with him that he did not get back to me. And so I had to drag myself down there the very first morning. We're staying at the Dolphin Resort, which is one of these big hotels that looks pretty incredible from the outside because it's got these big concrete fish on it. So I'm sucked in like everybody else. And I, hey, this must be a nice place. It was all right. You know, it's like an Econo Lodge with fish.
How much was it a night?
Oh, God.
Was it $500 a night?
We got a deal on we got adjoining rooms again. So it was like that for two rooms.
Mm.
So not bad.
Were they suites or just
rooms? No, they were room rooms. Nothing fancy, you know. I was told this is like one of the best places you can stay, and I thought it was, you know, and it was fine. It was fine.
Okay,
so that's exactly what it was.
But fine is not good.
Fine was not for what I was paying. I was expecting a lot more. And we go into this place, and it's got everything's big. I think when they designed it, everything's got to be big. It's got the big Christmas tree. It's got the big train going around there. And then we got the big desk that says Disney Helpers or whatever. And they're going to help you by. So the first morning that we're in this place, you know, and I walk into the room and I realize, oh, okay. I thought it would be something really incredibly unique. And
now,
it's not.
At this point, you've gotten off
I'm spending a lot of money.
You've gotten off the S train. You got your family into your own car.
Which is great. And we were the third car off the S train. Which was, because they say that's the one bad part of the auto train that sometimes you have to wait an hour and a half to get your car off of the train. And our car was the third. And I was really excited about that because then you leave, you get in the car, it's like, so long, suckers! And then that's the happiest point of the trip right there. That single moment as we're driving out, everyone is happy because I say to my wife, hey, we were the third one off. Can you believe that? And everybody's like, ha ha, this is great. And look, it's sunny. It's sunny Florida. And it's about 58 degrees. It's probably going to get warmer. That's another thing that I'll talk about later. It didn't get warmer, okay? Went in the other damn direction.
I heard about that.
So we're driving away. We get to the dolphin thing. The next morning, when I walk into the room, I just suddenly feel like for the money I'm spending, I'm just a little bit disappointed. But I get over that quickly. And
they have
like,
a mini bar?
Yeah, but we have a new mini bar rule in our. I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. You can't open the mini bar. If you open the mini bar, they don't know that it's a mini bar. They see it's a refrigerator, and all of a sudden you're going to have, you know, $70 cashews scattered all over the floor.
I am gauging the quality of the room.
It had a mini bar. It had a mini bar, and the mini bar was, you know, like any mini bar you would have. It had a mini bar. It had water pressure that, seriously, if there was a monkey urinating, and you were dancing around underneath it to try to get wet, that's the water pressure.
I know you've
the
got,
water pressure.
You've got issues with water pressure.
I have
you
huge
really
issues.
Do.
And I, on the third night I was there, I called down to the front desk and had them address the water pressure and specifically told them what I was paying for the series of, you know, the two rooms that we had. And they came up and they replaced the shower head, which meant I had a clean monkey urinating on me, you know. So that's just a minor little thing, just a tiny little thing. The worst part, the first day, you know, I'm in this hotel, and immediately when we get into this hotel, we see people running around in red T-shirts. And I said, wow, what's going on here? And they said, oh, there's a convention, which always just thrills me to no end, that the week before Christmas there's going to be a convention in the hotel. You know, people in packs, you know how I feel about people in packs, right? Well, these are pampered chef people. Now, the pampered chef is what? Isn't that like an Amway with cookware,
like
where you try to F your neighbors to yeah. sell cookware, right?
Harry Kay,
well,
absolutely.
All their number one billers are down in Orlando for their big pampered chef, and they are all. Oh, I swear to God. I mean, let me tell you, they are all down there. And I'll tell you, these people are not fit to wipe me. I am so mad at these people. You know, they all have two mommy, daddy, and four kids. Every one of them. The pampered chef, right you are. And I am so, so irritated already. And I can't tell you. These people are all wearing their little red sweatshirts and T-shirts, and I had to seriously keep my kids, my 5-year-old and my 3-year-old, next to me with my hands over them when we would get on and off the elevators, because these pampered chef F's would literally bowl onto the elevator, and they, on three separate occasions, they almost knocked my kids over, because they were, all their kids seemed to be the ages of 11 and 8.
Were they all heading towards something free?
They were all heading like pandemonium. They, you know when people take over a hotel, they feel like they own it, and they were just irritating. They were pushy people. They were loud. They were all too excited. And I go down the very first day, and I have to go and purchase my Disney tickets. Now, the only reason I have gone to this theme park is because I was able to, through another radio station, wangle some freebies to get in, because then I feel like I'm not really, you know, Disney doesn't have it on me. And I was thinking, this time I'm going, and I'm actually going to spend money. They don't own the hotel that I'm staying in. I made a point of that. This is, it's called Disney's Dolphin Resort, but they are not owned by the Disney Corporation. That's the only reason I was staying on property. So the moment I'm walking down to purchase my tickets to Disney, I know that I'm crossing the line. It's the point of no return where I am really conceding to the entire Disney corporate thing. So I say I need 5 tickets. And I said, what's the best value? Well, you know, they're really going to tell me. They said, well, sir, the best value would be the Park Hopper ticket. Like, what is that? The Park Hopper allows you to go all, and they give you all the jargon. I just want to make this transaction. And I'm figuring, all right, maybe I'm Johnny Naive, right? But I figure maybe $300-$400 for the whole family, right? $800.
Ooh. My God.
$800!
To go on the freaking teacup.
You're right, Rob.
Yeah.
That's for the, 4 days.
To go on the friggin' teacup.
Now, I know people are going
to
call me.
To wait in line for an hour.
They're going
to
tell me that I could have gotten a better rate. Yeah. What the F am I going to do? I'm standing there. I know my kids are going to go to this park. And I said, that's the best you can do? They said, yes, that's the best you can do. He said, you know, if one of you doesn't want to go to the park, I mean, what? And so I'm sitting there, like, with the shock of this unbelievable, exorbitant fee that I'm paying to get into the privilege of standing in line for crap. And between the water pressure at this point, the hotel, which was not what I expected, I am just, and the pampered chef effers running all over the hotel. I'm not pleased, and I wasn't pleased. And I would like to apologize to my family because I wasn't really happy or jovial or really happy and peppy for the entire week because I thought it was a ripoff. I felt really ripped off.
I got into a break, and I haven't even talked about the weather yet, about your attempt to play golf when you were down there.
Well, I mean, it's always nice when you go down and they set the 5-year record low temperature.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Stay tuned for your chance at $500 for naming the secret song, only on the Don and Mike Show.
I'm going crazy.
DJs who love DJs, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, let's get back to the Disney story. I know Buzz is standing by with 3 weeks worth of news and comments.
Oh, my God.
He's waiting to speak with us.
I will tell you that I got through all of the crap, okay? The first day that we went into the MGM Studios, where we were years ago, which is a smaller version and more crowded and all this. And the only reason we really go to these theme parks is so my kids can hug the characters. All right. That's all they really care about. I mean, they like rides, but not in the sense. What they
hug
want to do.
The smelly, alcoholic, midget characters.
Absolutely. And you know what the thing is now? I think I talked about this the last time we went there. They now don't just let the characters roam around the park and anybody. They've got lines. And at MGM Studios.
Oh, the character breakfast.
They had, no, this wasn't a character breakfast. This was in the park. They have trailers set up with little stars on them and Winnie the Pooh with a rope around him and a line and adults. I mentioned this the last time, but it still pissed me off. Adults with autograph books getting the midget inside the character suit to sign autographs, and it takes a ridiculous amount of time. So about halfway through,
you're paying $800 for this.
I'm telling my daughters, I mean, just go up and hug them. And this one lady said, there's a line here. And I looked at her and I said, she's 5. And we continued on, and you know, it was like Tigger and all this crap as we're going through and having them hug. And they got moments of joy, which I enjoyed. There was one day we actually went to the Animal Kingdom, which was, I will tell you, of all of the places I've been in that godforsaken place, I will tell you, I had a fairly decent day down there. That was actually fun. Got a chance to see some animals. The kids got face painted, which we had to pay for. And then, you know, I haven't spent enough money at this place. So we get our night out where we're going to go out and we're going to go to the Disney nightclub area that's called Pleasure Island.
All right, the adult area.
We go out there, and I knew this was going to happen. This is covered ground. I've been here before, but it still irritates me because you can't just go over there and then pay to drink and have a cocktail and pay to see a show or whatever. You pay a cover charge of $21 each for the pleasure of walking over their little effing wooden bridge to go to their places to drink booze, where you're going to spend money anyway. Like, they didn't get enough money out of me to start with. They want to get a little extra.
Oh, absolutely. Our whores.
And you would think, so you're paying this one-time cover charge, and there's a country bar, there's a 70s bar, there's a comedy club, there's a rock and roll place. Well, what we realize is, I guess this is prior to the Christmas week, between Christmas and New Year's, they're kind of laying low. And it's a Tuesday night, and we're not going to get the A material. So we said, well, let's go. All right, let's go to the comedy show. So I say, yeah, you know, I love stand-up comedians. You never know. There's a 1 in 10 shot.
The girl with CP from Facts of Life.
Let me tell you something. If I had any.
What was your name, Rob? I know you know it.
What was
Jerry Jewell.
What was it?
Jerry Jewell.
Jerry Jewell.
I'm Jerry Jewell.
I wish. I'll tell you, if I'd had any stand-up comedian, I would have been happy. But like, we get in there, and I'm like, all right, it's a stand-up show. This will be fun. Well, it's Tuesday night, and they come out on stage and say, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Comedy Cafe on Pleasure Island. It's Tuesday night, and it's time for our improv night. They have an improv troupe. When I go into a comedy club and I see that they've got an improv troupe, it's like the Capitol steps. It's garbage. It's not entertainment for me. I want prepared material from, you know, if I want to watch that Drew Carey show, I'll sit on my ass at home and watch it. But what they've got is, and the improv troupe, and they all do their thing where they run out on stage like, hi, we're the improvettes or whatever they are. Hey, welcome to Disney now. This is a game. This is a show where the audience, you're going to be the star of this show. And I'm
talking like you're in second grade.
Jesus, oh, please stop. And then he says this, the one little short dwarf guy that's head of the improv troupe with his shaved head, I guess so he can wear crazy wigs to make us laugh. He says, now, because this is the mouse, and he puts his hand above his head like this, because it's the mouse, there's certain material you know we can't do. And I look at my wife, I said, let's get the F out of here.
Yeah, right away. I'm telling you, hey, guess what?
Well,
not a chance. This is going to be funny.
I mean, if it's a comedy club with adults drinking adult beverages, and he's saying before the whole show even starts that they can't do any blue material, and I'm like, you know, it's not that I have to hear blue material, but you're just stifling any chance of
it. Agree, you go in there and go, hi.
Hey, listen, everybody. Hi, my name's Roger. I'll be your comedian tonight. Have a great time. So I'm doing this girl up the ass. And oh, my God. I pulled back a giant shanker. We stayed in there, and you know, this is something very rare for me. We ordered a drink, because you have to order a drink first before
y'all pay next. $21 to get in here?
It's a stupid effort. So we go across the street, and we go into the Adventurers. It's like, I think it's called the Adventurers Club. It's another bar, and I walk in, and I say to this guy who's dressed like with the pit helmet and stuff, I said, what's going on here? He goes, there's a show at the... I said, what? He said, there's a show. I said, what's the show? He said, it's improv. People walk around and do improv. And we go down. And so at this point, I said, let's just look. I said, you have to sit in the theater or anything? No, you just can have a drink, sit at the bar. So this time, you know, I mentioned that I fell off again. And I fell off hard. And this is when at this point, I simply want some alcohol. I want to sit at the bar. We go down to this thing in the Adventurers Club. And this improv doesn't involve sitting in a theater. This is where people walk around. And the lady that came out as like the curator of the club is actually doing a pretty good improv. And she's making me laugh. She's funny. But halfway through, this woman comes down and sits down next to the stage, this little mini stage they have. I'm above her at the bar. And I swear to God, you know, it sounds like a continuous theme, but I have never smelled worse farts in my, and I knew they were coming from this one, because as soon as the first death ray fell over us, Laura, of course, gives me the elbow like nobody else could fart in that whole room, and I finally figured out that it had to be this woman, and she is right below the lady that's giving the little spiel. And she's sitting there, and so the lady that's doing the improv had to smell this smell.
Of course.
And she's sitting there going, well, we'd like to welcome everyone. And meanwhile, I'm looking looking down at the woman. And you know the kind of woman that's going to do this? You know, the unkempt hair, just sitting down there with a scowl on her face. And you know, obviously a little too much dinner that she had earlier. And so we stay at Pleasure Island for maybe another 5 minutes after that. And we left, basically getting no value for our $21.
Of course.
Because they usually have, like when we were there when it was warmer, they have little booths out there where you can, you know, you can play little carnival games and stuff. None of this. Because apparently it was too cold. Oh, did I mention the weather? Did I mention my Disney-rific weather that I was paying all that money for? 28 degrees at night.
Ooh, this is what
that's what you go down to Florida for, 28 degrees. Hey, I'll tell you, here's the weather forecast for Orlando. Tonight it's going to dip down to 28 degrees. That's going to be a five-year record for us.
He called me up. He's so pissed, man. He said it is sucked.
It is warmer in D.C.
Right.
than it is in Orlando. And I said, are you able to play golf? He's, at this point, he's screaming. He said, sure. As I pry the club out of my hand, the right. club that is frozen to my hand.
It sucks so totally. It was such, I mean, yeah, I don't go down there, you know, for the weather exclusively. I mean, but I mean, because we got the Disney thing, at least you can do stuff.
We had to buy two coats for the kids, wrap them in a blanket, put them in a little stroller. You know, my kids' faces are red as they're sitting there going, are you having a good time? So look at all the warm weather animals. All the stuff is covered up down there, all the Disney flora and fauna, you know, covered up with their little mouse sheets that they don't want to, so the plants don't get. And then the one thing that was the benefit of staying in the hotel, the Econo Lodge, the Disney Econo Lodge that we stayed in,
yeah.
was the fact that they had a shuttle boat that would take you into the park. It would take you into Epcot, and it would take you into MGM Studios. So this is a shuttle. So I'm like, hey, well, there's a benefit. Well, this shuttle takes 8 days to get from the hotel to really cover an expanse of, I estimated, maybe about 200 yards. And this, it stops here, it stops there. It stops here, it stops there, with a bunch of pampered chef people that are just jamming.
There they are again.
Elbowing their way onto these nasty-ass pampered chef people, running over my kids again, all talking too loud, like the one that you had to jam yourself into this bench seat, and I'm cramming in there with my kid going, Daddy, it's too tight. I said, I'm sorry, but the woman with the large pampered chef ass is cramming me in here, and then proceeding to scream at her little partner, and it was just, it sucked. I'm sorry. It just totally sucked, and I that was my vacation. And then when I got home, we bought a puppy.
Well, that's good news.
That's a great news. That's the newest member of the family, Tully. Named after Tullamore, which is
who?
Tullamore. It's Tullamore. It's an Irish whiskey, and it's also
Okay, now, you're done naming dogs after family members.
Right.
Now you're naming dogs after booze?
Well, booze, and it's the town in Waking Ned Devine where they all live, Tullamore.
All right.
And so I named it, it was a combination of both. But Tullamore is a little
Australian. Oh, we got a dog named Pleasantville.
It's a little Australian shepherd that I got, and I snuck out, you know, between the holidays and drove up to, you know, the wilds of Maryland where they had this breeder up there and, you know, got it right out of the paper and went in there, bought the dog, and the dog vomited on the seat when we were pulling into the driveway, which is tradition, you know, because you have that moment of euphoria when you pick out the puppy and I'm going to surprise the family with this because it's all my kids wanted for you. They didn't want anything else. They wanted a puppy. They wanted a puppy. They wanted a puppy. And so I finally got them the puppy. And the puppy, you know, had that little, that slime goo coming out which says, I don't like to ride in the car. But I said, well, this is okay, because it's a puppy and there's not a lot, but nope, you got a little, just one little step was in the driveway when the dog just went yuck like that. But the dog is very cute. We're training it not to poop in the house. So far, so good.
Good luck.
Quarter of seven this morning, 6:45. I'm out in the front yard with Tully, and Tully, you know, as soon as the paws hit the grass, a nice little Duke came out. A nice little tiny Duke, and I said, hey, we're going to dedicate that Duke to all the people down at Disney and all the people wearing the pampered chef shirts. So that was my vacation.
Wow. He gave you the PG version.
The version I heard.
The version I heard on the telephone was a lot angrier. Really lifted my spirits.
It really did. You got it at ground zero. That was when I was just ready to leave.
You're having the worst time.
That was the morning after the forecaster with their big grins, because you know 28 degrees for them is exciting because they're in that 80 degree crap all year round. So they. Oh, 28 degrees, you better bundle up. And I'm like, I'm so glad to be here. It's time
cover the news in the comments with Buzz.
We charge you to breathe.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people. He made it up.
Hey, but let me ask you something.
Yeah.
You know, there's that unspoken, you know, this.
Uh-huh.
You get that, right?
I do.
Okay.
I know what you're talking
about.
All right,
but you never laugh, though.
Well, no. I'm funny that way.
All right, there's something that we've been doing a lot in the studio recently, very visual, that's very funny, and Buzz never laughs. Buzz, what is your lead story tonight? Is it the fact that you never laugh at this?
No, that's not the lead story. The lead story is Mr. Hond. You're dead.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Buzz, scooped by a listener, incidentally.
Uh-huh.
Earlier on this today. Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up. On the Don and Mike Show.
And that was very...
F you, Mike and his family.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Professional.
What's the word from Planet Cracker?
Dogs love cheese. And people love the Don and Mike Show.
All right, a little overmodulated there. We'll get it down for the year 2000. You know, we've got all the new elements coming up here. Streamlining of the show. We have the brand new secret song contest. Also want to tell you that coming soon, we'll be giving away vacations to Jamaica.
Wow.
Come on. We're going back to New York on a regular basis.
All right.
Yay. We'll start that next week with our broadcast from Gotham City. Also, we'll be in Tampa Bay for the Super Bowl this year with a live Super Bowl show that does not include Rudy Marcy's underpants.
Oh, really? We're not going to be poking through Rudy's underwear? Well, we're not at his home.
Friday before the Super Bowl, we will be live in Tampa Bay, and we do have Las Vegas-style shows coming up, already booked, in Reno, Portland, Oregon, Sacramento, California, Ocean City, Maryland, Washington, D.C., Baltimore, and New York City.
Wow. Right.
All of those shows, 2001 will be the year of the Las Vegas-style show.
Excellent.
And as we did last year, we're wiping the slate clean,
ooh,
a bigger, brand new, better show.
Very good.
Than ever before. Listen for more details on this Don and Mike station. Now, here is Guy Birdley.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, as I tried to surprise you with earlier, and that was a mistake, actor Ray Walston is dead. He was best known for playing the alien in the 60s sitcom My Favorite Martian. On this show, he was best known for his role as the teacher, Mr. Hand.
Mr. Hand!
In the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
You dick! Jesus, holy, I don't know. I like that.
Ray Walston won 2 Emmys for his part as Judge Bone on the TV series Picket Fences.
Judge Bone.
Yeah.
Well, that's funny. I never laughed at that when he was on that show.
He was as crusty in real life as he was on the screen. He said he was happy My Favorite Martian got canceled because it had typecast him to the detriment of his career.
Right, because he was such a serious actor.
His co-stars on Picket Fences say he was always telling them to pipe down. And the producer of the show says he hired Walston after the actor stormed out of an audition saying he shouldn't have to try out for the part. He was 86. President-elect George W. Bush finished putting together his cabinet, and one Democrat did make the cut.
Where'd he get it, IKEA?
No, he made it himself.
The Democrat's on the shelf over here at IKEA for your interview.
Norman Mineta, who was Commerce Secretary under Clinton, will serve as Transportation Secretary under Bush.
Clinton.
Mr. Bush is praising President Clinton's last-minute efforts toward peace in the Middle East. Today, Bush said he appreciates Clinton's endless work to bring Israelis and Palestinians together. Mr. Clinton still meeting with Yasser Arafat here in Washington this evening. Arafat had asked for clarification of the U.S. peace proposal.
Yes, you know Bush is just counting the days till the hillbillies out of his house. 18 days until the Beverly Hillbillies leave the White House.
Yeah, come on, now, get out. Now, sit down, sit there, and get my own thing going.
Hey, I watched something on Inside Edition over the holiday when I was, of course, doing nothing but laying in bed watching TV in the hospital. They had a great segment on about this country bumpkin, this fat bitch who was Al Gore's girlfriend before he met Tipper.
Really?
And I'm talking about, like, when he was a high school freshman junior.
Yeah, because weren't they high school sweethearts, Tipper and Al?
Yeah. He started dating Tipper when he graduated high school.
Okay.
And he broke up with this girl now. And listen, Tipper Gore is no major piece of ass, but
I think in her day she was okay.
To see this woman as she is now, and to see Tipper Gore as she is now,
right?
To see this woman, I ask you not, living in a trailer, okay, where she's got the rotted out teeth. She has the big Beatrice Arthur type, you know those moo-moo things that Beatrice Arthur used to wear?
Yeah, the sweater vest that go down like to the floor.
Right. She's sitting in this little dingy trailer, and she's got this little locket that he gave to her that said Al and Bonita or whatever her name is.
Bonita.
And she said, I loved Al. Al would write me two letters a day, and he met Tipper, and he sent me a letter and said that we could not be together anymore. I burned all the letters. I've never held any animosity at all towards him. And then they set this babe down in her little trailer, and they put on her VCR the tape of Al Gore making out with Tipper at the convention.
Right.
And they go, what do you think of that? Well, that bothered me a little bit.
they're fishing when they're going back to find out something. What does he care?
You're going to find a girl that he went with in high school. High school.
Hi there. How are you? And rotted teeth. You don't see that a lot in Tennessee.
And to see this woman. I mean,
she could have been, for a few other circumstances, maybe she would have been first lady.
Miss White Trash.
Hi there.
And then the last thing they said, so who are you voting for?
Uh-huh. I'm undecided.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
But today was a chance for a fresh start on Wall Street, but it was looking a lot more like where it left off last year. The Dow lost 141 points on its first day back. NASDAQ fell by a whopping 7%. A couple of parents here in the U.S. are trying to bring back their dead daughter through cloning. The baby died during heart surgery last year. The New York Post says the parents are spending $500,000 to have a new baby cloned from the preserved skin cells of their then 10-month-old daughter.
It's normal.
A research group called Clone Aid says it hopes to have the first embryo ready by early this year. The company is connected with a religious cult that believes the human race was cloned by visitors from outer space. The couple in question is in their...
Yeah, they sound reputable.
Sure. The couple in question is in their 30s and are reportedly still able to conceive a baby the old-fashioned way.
Space creatures.
The federal government says any group that wants to clone a human has to apply for permission first and probably won't get it because of the moral questions
involved. Welcome to our cloning place. We are both very excited to have you humans here.
With your Ferengis.
Spending your hard-earned cash. Your baby will be ready momentarily.
That's another thing I logged a lot of time with on vacation was they were running the Star Trek movie where it was the last one with Shatner.
Right.
Where it was Fat Captain Kirk where he dies.
Yes.
And then Picard goes back into the Nexus to find him and pulls him out.
Generations, isn't it?
That's it. Right. That's the funniest one where you see Captain Kirk and Picard riding these horses together and Kirk's horse looks like he is about to have a freaking heart attack because big old fat James T. Kirk is riding on it.
And she's gone.
It's gone. It's great. Buzz, hold on.
All right.
Got to do this. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.